It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, and we've got a great panel for you. Peter Cohen joins us from iMore and The Loop. John C. Dvorak's here. Robert Scoble. We'll talk about the new iPhone, Apple's plans, and a lot more. This Week in Tech is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 423, recorded September 15th, 2013. Unapologetically plastic. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files for you automatically and continually for only $59.99 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required, and use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product or smartphone is worth at Gazelle.com. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Visit Audible.com/TWIT2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID Audible_com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers your week's tech news in great, obsessive detail. And we're so glad to have, I think, the best panel ever.
Once again,
as
the
we do every week.
The hype has already gotten deep.
No, actually, I'm very sincere. First of all, Robert Scoble wearing his Google Glass. He is, of course, the chief startup discoverer at Rackspace. Yep. And an old friend. Original mod of my chat room back in the 90s at KGO Radio.
Yeah.
He's also with Shel Israel, the author of a new book. This is the new one, just came out, or is about to come out,
yeah.
Age of Context, which we'll ask a little bit about. It has to do with mobile, with sensors.
Sensors.
Your timing could not be better, and I'll explain why I say that. It has to do with the iPhone and the Moto and all this.
We've been working on it for 17 months.
So. And yet, this is well done. John C. Dvorak is here, noagendashow.com, channel Dvorak.
I'm also at the new domain, anewdomain.com.net.
.net, not yeah. .com.net.
Well, it actually is .com.
Oh, okay.
And .net.
Oh, all right. She got both. Gina Smith.
So I recommend people rush over there so they can read the deconstruction of the Chicago-style hot dog.
Yeah, because he doesn't write about tech on a new domain. He writes about football. He writes about hot dogs. Gina sent me a link to this. What are you talking about, the Chicago hot dog? What's that all about?
Well, you should read it. It's very interesting. It's a history of the Chicago hot dog.
It goes back to 1929, by the way. What is it? It has to be a Vienna sausage. It has to have a tomato. It has to have a pickle. It has to have some peppers.
Chopped onion.
Chopped onion, mustard.
Don't
pepper.
Don't forget about the poppy seed bun, man.
Poppy seed bun.
And also,
that neon green crappy... But I've decided to make a California version because you can't get half of that stuff.
That looks so good. You can get it here. We have a Chicago hot dog place here.
Yeah,
hey,
I know
that other voice, that's Peter Cohen, who is managing editor over at iMore, iMore.com, of course, where Renee Ritchie comes from. Also, executive editor at Jim Dalrymple's The Loop.
Ooh. Yes.
Yep.
Hello.
I've known you for years as a game expert.
Yes.
So you've... Have you pivoted here?
Pivoted.
No. I mean, you know, I've had my hand in it for a very long time. And,
well, take your hand out. We got to do a show.
Yeah, geez. Come on, please. It's disgusting.
Sorry. It's Dvorak's fault. I wouldn't.
Being remote is tough on this show, by the way. So hats off to you.
Pants off. No, keep your pants on.
Scoble finally got a clue and came in.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour drive for me.
Thank you.
You know, being at home is no fun.
Thank you.
You know, if I'd had the time, I would have come in, but it's a 6-hour flight and I work on the weekends. So.
Where are you located, Peter?
Massachusetts.
Oh, great. All right. Well, it's nice to have you and great to see you again. And, boy, I tell you, between The Loop and iMore, you've got your finger on the pulse of Apple.
I've got my finger somewhere on Apple, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Is it on the new iPhone?
Well, let's talk, because this, of course, was the week
It's funny. Usually when Apple announces a new phone, it seems to be bigger, a bigger news story than it was.
Yeah.
Somewhat, I think there's plenty of innovation in this new iPhone. In fact, more than I would expect for a S model phone. But I think at some point we've just gotten to a kind of a maturity in this sector where it's hard to get people all hot and bothered about it.
I think they are also holding back. It'll be interesting to talk to
Well, you got the connection, so let's just, you know, quickly mention what they announced this week. I'm sure you all know. We did our live coverage on the Tuesday. There's two new iPhones. There's the 5C. As we posited last week, I think the C is for kids. It's for younger people. It's colorful. It is essentially the old iPhone 5 with a little bit more battery and a colorful plastic back. It's, what did they call it? Unapologetically plastic, which is a nice way to say we're not apologizing. It's plastic.
It sounds much more elegant when you say it with Johnny Ives' English accent.
Unapologetically plastic. It is what it is. It is what it wants to be. Plastic. And then they added the Crocs case around it, which is kind of plastic on plastic. Obviously realizing that they were missing the boat with all the accessory sales, that Apple should probably have a high profit margin, you know, nickel case that they could sell for $30. Weird, though, because if you look at the pictures, the holes are not well situated.
I have to agree with you. I think the holes are... I think Apple's case design the iPhone 5C is how not to make a cover for an iPhone.
So it's a nice rubber cover, and the idea is you could do it contrasting, so you could have a yellow phone with a green back or, you know. But if you look closely, if you zoom in, you can see that the word iPhone appears partially through one of the holes as non-hun what?
Look, we're nitpicking here. I mean, if for those of you who don't think that the cases for the iPhone 5C are going to sell, I have two words for you. iPod socks.
Yeah. Did those sell?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people, if it's from Apple, people love to get them.
Yeah. And if you know they know what happens, which is when you're in the store, you buy the phone, and Verizon knows this, and Sprint and everybody else too, and you're going to buy a case. You're just going to. You may not be the case you end up with, but you just buy the whatever the case is that's there. And so, hey, that's $30 like that. And then it can't be a high, you know, high expense item to make. It's made out of rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, right?
Love the Crocs you're with.
Right, exactly.
So not much to say about that. The biggest surprise with the iPhone 5C is this price. I think a lot of people thought and expected and hoped, and even the stock market maybe demanded that this be the cheap iPhone. C does not stand for cheap.
Yeah, since this was C was for. What would it else be put
color?
For?
Color.
Kids.
Oh, those colors are terrible. Those are for kids, for that, sure.
Well, it's the same thing that C stands for in John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, what does that stand
computer,
for? Charles?
Computer.
Computer. It is only $100 less than the big boy 5S. And that's why I really think it's aimed at people under 25 who don't really care about the features of the 5S. They're probably not even that aware. Hey, it's $100, but more importantly, it's pink. To me, I think that's really the market for that, right? Am I wrong? Yeah. I showed it to my daughter, 21. She was much more interested in the color.
Yep.
That's the selling point.
It's cute.
For us,
well, outside of the battery
huge.
And the FaceTime camera, which has been improved a little bit, that's really the only
it's a five.
Significant difference between that and the 5.
Yeah, it's a 5.
C is for children.
Children. Yeah.
Children.
I like
exactly
kids
that's what it is. Children. I think exactly what
it's
it means.
It's funnier if it's kids.
Cute kids.
Ids.
Cute children.
SIDS, C-I-D-S?
SIDS.
Some sort of a disease, I believe.
Of course, from Apple's point of view, the advantage of this is it's much easier to make than the iPhone 5, that milled aluminum case, chamfered edges.
Holding the S is the fingerprint scanner. I'm hearing and reading.
Well, let's get to the S.
Peter probably knows the facts.
Let's get to the S. But I do think that that's...
I just read the facts.
From Apple's point of view, this is a much higher margin product. They could have charged, as the market and Ming-Cho Lee wanted, they could have charged $350 or $400 for this, but they don't. They charge only $100 less. But I think their margin is very good on this because it's much easier to make.
I have to admit, I was on that bandwagon too. I thought this was going to be a less expensive iPhone than what we had seen previously. But understanding what they did, which was pulling the old 5 out of circulation altogether, instead of making it last year's model that they would sell $100 cheaper. You know, they're introducing an entirely new model, and they are making some improvements. It's got better battery life. It's got that better FaceTime camera that a lot of the kids use for selfies nowadays. You know, so, you know, it's...
C is for selfie.
You just want to have everything misspelled.
I do think this is going to appeal to younger people. That's really what this is aimed at.
They glue it together.
And, of course, in hindsight, it's obvious Apple never has chased the bottom of the market. So why should they do it now? They're content to be not the biggest, but the most profitable.
Let's start a rumor that each of the colored cases tastes different.
It's lickable.
And it's a fact.
Come to South by Southwest, there might be something lickable on those cases.
It's unapologetically blueberry.
But, you know, the green ones make you horny.
Ooh.
Just like
it's in my contract. No green cell phones. So, all right. So that's enough said about the 5C. Of course, the flagship is the 5S, which comes in three colors. Space gray, which looks an awful lot like the black iPhone to me. White, which looks exactly like the white iPhone 5. And then...
And then this thing you got.
Oh, that's a case. But this is space... Well, now is...
How do you pull that thing apart?
It's hard to get it open here. Okay, I'll take it out of the case.
I see.
So is this the same as space gray or... Because this is the old iPhone 5 black.
Where's the new?
It's a lighter black, right?
It's a lighter black. Yeah, that's correct.
And then this. I thought we all thought they call it champagne, trying to go for the Robin Leach effect. But no, it's gold. It's pretty. I like.
It doesn't
the gold.
Look gold though.
Well, you see, I got to disagree with you, man. I think it's ugly as hell.
Johnny Ives says it's unapologetically ugly.
Measured to make sure that it's truly useful
and made out of aluminium. Enhances.
So, I'm sorry. We shouldn't mock this. This is
sure
serious.
You can. Why not?
This is serious stuff.
Well, speaking of mocking, have you seen the Conan O'Brien parody of the gold iPhone yet?
No. Was that the one with the sandwich?
It's the one with the vice president of gold from Miami Beach. He's this Russian guy with the open shirt with the chest hair hanging out.
Hey, it's gold.
Gold, gold, gold.
It was designed in Miami. All right, let's pull it up. We'll show a little bit of this, which will make sure that this show never appears on YouTube. Oh, Rafi Jaharian, VP of Gold.
That's right, VP of Gold.
I love Conan. I do. Yeah, let's play a little bit of it. Just can you see my can you see my screen yet or no? Go ahead, no. Show yours. Go do it. You have it, Chad.
I'm waiting for an ad to finish.
Oh, yeah, Walmart. Okay.
Yep.
What is this about ads? What are they trying to make money? What the hell?
Disgusting.
Come on, Google. You got more money than God.
No, Apple still is more profitable.
Apple has a lot of cash. So the five. We'll watch this a little later. This is the longest Walmart ad.
Is it really?
Find fresh peaches and all your quality produce back.
No, I'm still.
What is this?
That's me.
Meticulously designed, engineered, and crafted in a way that no iPhone has been before.
Malcolm Bird.
No two fingerprints are alike, so we thought with 5S, why not use them as passwords?
I love the names.
And the 5S is the first iPhone to be offered in the color gold. To achieve this aesthetic, we went outside of our core team of designers.
Yeah, gold is best. You think gold, you think all the best stuff. Jet ski, nice watch, sports car, shrimp. Your regular iPhone is gold.
I just want to make it clear. I only worked on the gray and silver ones.
It's gold. It's the best. Actually, I like the gold color. You may not like it, Peter, but I think it's classy.
We're going to put a cheap color plastic case on it anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But here's what's new in the iPhone 5S. And I think these are actually, given it's the talk to Apple's Tick 5, it's actually, there's a lot of new stuff in here. Yep. Much improved camera, same megapixel, but bigger sensor, which means bigger larger pixels. What do they say? 1.5 micron.
But 8 megapixel, but better megapixels.
Better. They're better megapixels, than before. It also has an f2.2 lens, not the fastest lens in the market. A lot of cameras now, including the 1020, has f2, right?
Yeah.
It has...
Well, I wanted to see that thing.
Oh, now John's more interested in the Nokia. You know, Microsoft bought Nokia, so...
I did. When did that happen?
Oh, my God! So we're now all going to be pictured at 41 megapixels. What?
So we'll be able to...
kill more hard drive space.
We'll be able to see the pores on John's nose.
You know, the HTC One with its 4-megapixel camera touted 2-micron pixels. These aren't quite that big, but it is true. The bigger the pixels, the better the low light performance. To add to that, dual flashes in 2 colors. There's a blue flash and a yellow flash, so you've got a cooler color and a hotter color. And the camera apparently will take 2 pictures. First to sense the color balance of the room, the white balance of the room, and then adjust the flashes. Adjust the flashes, which is something this camera is not doing, although it has a xenon flash, which is nice. It will adjust the flashes into 1 of 1,000 different colors to best match the color temperature of the room. That's actually nice. I think that's a nice, and I've never heard of any camera
phone
doing that.
Thomas Hawk are going to be in New York on Friday, and we're going to go buy an iPhone and compare it to this camera. Because, you know, is 41 megapixel better than 8?
Are you going to get in line?
Of course we're going to.
You know what's
great?
You know what?
See, the line you is the said there's going to be no line.
Well, I'll get to this. I'll get to this.
There's
God,
already
you guys,
a line in New York. Yeah.
I'm trying to be organized. I'm never organized. I'm just trying this one time to be organized. So, all right. Well, we'll do the line. You can order and have been able to order since the 13th of 5C. No problem. On the 20th, it'll arrive, as it usually does, by FedEx. That's what Apple's been doing the last few years. Unaccountably, they are not allowing pre-order on the 5S. And if anybody has an idea of why this could be, except to make
a
manufacture
line.
Artificial lines.
Fingerprint sensor.
What did I say on this show?
Fingerprint sensor.
Apple is saying that we want to train you.
Fingerprint sensor.
What? It's what?
They can't make enough.
So this why wouldn't you allow pre-order? Why doesn't pre-order solve this?
Peter, get back here.
Tell me about this.
This is where Apple wants to turn things into Barter Town from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and there's going to be blood sports outside each of the Apple stores. People are going to have to fight to the death to get their iPhone 5S.
It's good PR if people get trampled for a 5S.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you can actually, or you will be able to, starting September 17th, if you want to pre-order your phone, you can. You just have to live or be in China.
you mean they can pre-order, but we can't?
That's absolutely true. If you check Apple's Chinese websites, they tell you September 17th, and in Hong Kong and in mainland China, you'll be able to pre-order. They are encouraging people to buy them directly from the Apple stores. I forget what the phrase was, but it was clear that they're making a play for direct sales of iPhones, which is very consistent with what we've heard Tim Cook wants to do, which is drive more traffic to Apple stores for the phones instead of letting, you know, all the cell phone stores and big box retailers grab the lion's share of those sales.
Yeah, because we're going to buy a plastic case, a colorful case,
so,
which makes them another $10.
So they're That's either right. going to, you know, because they want the foot traffic so they can make more money, or they want a line out front because it's good to get on the 6 o'clock news. None of this is to, or maybe, I don't know why this would help, because there's a shortage of fingerprint readers or they can't make enough of them.
Check this out.
But it sure seems to me like Apple That's is nice. Disadvantaging its customers in, you know, really kind of, I mean, people who would want it on the first day, in the past we'd be able to pre-order it. I don't understand.
Yeah. So lines, I told you this earlier.
But this is wrong for a company to do that.
But who says that they were manufacturing iPhone 5S in enough capacity to be able to support massive pre-orders on these devices? This is brand new technology, guys. There's a 64-bit chip inside there. Yep. There's the Touch ID fingerprint sensor. You know, it looks the same as the 5 does, but it's entirely new under the hood.
Yeah, I understand, but why was entirely new and
why
I could pre-order
torment
it?
The public is what you're asking.
No, they can't make enough. And this way they can meter them at the stores. The stores are a great metering system.
So you're saying, okay, we don't have enough. And we don't, so we want don't want to run out on pre-orders. We want to have some in the store. So we'll give each store 20.
It's
and then people will line
imagine
up.
Imagine that they can't have enough in the stores. That, you know,
well,
they need to have the stores.
What's if Pastor's Prologue, I said if Pastor's Prologue, my bet is that the iPhone or that the Apple stores themselves are going to get the lion's share of the inventory and that everybody else is going to have to make do with whatever they get. And there are going to be shortages. If you go to a Verizon store or an AT&T store on Friday, you'll likely, you know, unless you're one of the first people there, probably going to be turned away.
Yeah. I should point out that, and let me check just to make sure, but as far the last time I checked, there was no shortage of 5Cs. You could order one today and get it on 920.
The 5C's, like, you nailed it. It's basically an old 5 put in a plastic case with, you know, a little bit.
I thought there'd be more demand, frankly, for the 5C than the 5S, but we'll see.
There probably is if you include the price, but you know, all of, everybody here who's going to buy a new iPhone in the next year
will buy a 5S.
Not me.
So well, what are you going to buy?
I want to go through the technologies.
Are you going to join us on the Android side of the fence?
I'm on the. I've always been on the Android side.
So you're not going to buy an Apple device anyway.
Well, I want to buy one, but I have to buy one for you. But let's go through.
I'm going
to
hit Robert with a sock full of quarters and take his Lumia 1020.
It's a great camera.
If only it ran Android, it'd be a hot camera.
Let's not talk about Nokia.
Kind of
we spent last week talking about that, and that actually was one of the threats. In fact, now we know that both Microsoft and Nokia had nuclear options. That Microsoft was looking at building its own Surface Windows phones, and Nokia had tried some Android OS on some of these.
So I was resolved.
Yeah. So that's how they resolved it. We'll buy you.
I think it was part of the deal to begin with.
So let's. I guess you weren't here last week. If you want to talk about Nokia, we could.
No. I don't want to. I hate to keep going over stuff that you talked about last week.
We got some
new
meat.
We
got some fresh meat. We did get it wrong, but you got some fresh meat here.
Fresh meat.
The iPhone 5S. So,
what's this phone here?
That's a Moto X.
Now, this is the phone you like.
Yeah, I love that phone.
Can I have your HTC One then?
What, you can't afford to buy one of your own?
No, I can't. As a matter of fact, I live from hand to mouth.
Okay. Yeah, you can have my HTC One. You actually can. I have two HTC ones. I can give you one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You heard him.
I should have brought it here today.
Oh, you did. I'm sure you did. You have HTC ones coming out. You probably have it on you.
I don't, actually, because I took the SIM out and put it in here. Uh-huh. Anyway. God, you guys are really distracting me.
Uh-huh. Because now you're doing the additions. Now you're doing the calculation and losing that HTC One.
No, I got plenty of funds. Uh-huh. So, I'm going away for 3 weeks.
On a jet plane?
On a jet plane. Okay. So I really thought long and hard, and I decided the Moto X was the phone to bring.
Can you make calls over there? Does it have the right radios in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
So, can you slip the SIM easily out? Can you get the little micro SIM?
Unfortunately, it's
a
nano SIM. It's one of the really small ones. Yeah. So
super small. It's not the smallest. The smaller
it's
is
the smallest. It's the nano SIM.
But they don't have those in Europe.
They have a few, but not a lot.
I should open up my SIM and show it to you. You can cut the SIM.
You can cut them down. I know. I have a SIM cutter that goes all the way down.
Even though
it cuts some of the metal, it cuts some of the contacts, it still works. Yeah. Who'd have thunk it?
I don't know.
To the iPhone.
What's the point? What's the point of a real small
this
SIM
is how
like
we
that?
Geek out
it's
now.
Just
we
a
cut
way.
Our Sims.
It's a way to just lose the SIM. Don't you think?
Yeah.
If you well, lose, then why you do they down, do this back to us? Down the Verizon store and you can get another SIM.
So anyway, iPhone 5.
Lost my SIM.
Verizon's, do they have SIMs? I thought they were already CDMA and they were no SIMs
Verizon
involved.
Verizon has a SIM.
The iPhone 5 has a SIM. That's what's actually great about it. The 5. And that's another thing. Maybe Peter knows this. Because the original 5 on Verizon was kind of the best thing in the world because it had a CDMA Verizon radio, but it also had GSM and an unlocked GSM SIM. Yeah. Are they going to do that again with the 5S on Verizon? Do we know?
I'm actually still trying to get confirmation on that, but all signs point to yes. It's been a big selling feature for Verizon even, selling it as a world phone. So I don't see why they wouldn't. The interesting thing is that if I understand right, the iPhone 5 that Sprint sells actually has a locked SIM tray.
Oh. They glue it in?
No. Like the SIM itself is locked to.
Oh, it's carrier locked.
It's carrier locked to Sprint.
Well, but that's what I would have expected from Verizon too. Frankly, isn't that what you normally do? You lock the SIM. That's right. What everybody. AT&T. You buy an iPhone from AT&T. It's a locked SIM, carrier locked, because they don't want you to use it with anybody else. Now AT&T says, if you ask us nice and you're paid up, we'll unlock it for you. But
yeah, Verizon does that too.
Apparently nobody cares about the iPhone 5. I've tried and tried.
We haven't started talking about what's cool in there.
I'm working on it. I thought those flashes were pretty cool. The new camera's pretty cool.
I like.
I think it's gonna. I think it's gonna compete well as it does. Every image I've seen, it competes well against the 1020. Yeah. 1020's nice, but come on, really? That much better? If you really care, wouldn't you have a good camera instead of this?
Yeah, that's a good question, Leo. And you have a good camera.
I have a good camera. Yeah. And
are you going to bring the camera? Or are you just going to shoot from?
I'm
going to
bring all my cameras. I have like 8.
Oh, you're going to dump a few of them overseas. Good move. You can make a lot of money on the black market with those cameras.
There's an FBI agent sitting right back there. I just want to point that.
He's
out.
Not going to do anything.
She might.
So it's a she. We have a she.
Yes.
FBI agent.
Well, what's yes
here?
Yes.
Why?
I. To watch you, probably.
No, I think to watch you in this black market scheme you're running.
All right, fingerprint sensor, go.
This is a really interesting fingerprint sensor. It looks.
We're going to take a break now, and we'll come back with more about the fingerprint sensor. Actually, I do want to take a break, but I want to get to the finger. I think the fingerprint sensor. There's a number of issues, including
they can't make enough.
They can't make enough. I don't know if that's true, but that's your thing. Including the issue that you cannot use the fingerprint sensor to plead the fifth.
That's a big issue.
Sorry?
I'll talk about that in a moment. First word.
Sounds scandalous.
Scandalous is right. Carbonite.com. If you have not backed up, I had a saddest call. Oh, my God. On the radio show, Rico called, and he said, my son lost my iPod Touch, and it had all my pictures of the baby, everything on it. And I said, oh, did you turn on iCloud? He said, no. I said, have you ever backed it up? No. He says, is there any way I can get it back? I said, no, because you didn't back it up. It just breaks my heart. If you and the sad thing is, I think everybody who watches the show, everybody's in the audience, you guys know about backup. I don't have to tell you about backup. Everybody who's been in tech for any length of time has had a hard drive fail or has accidentally deleted a file. It's the people like Rico who just don't know, who are so vulnerable. I try to get the word out. Tell your friends, tell your family. This is a great solution for people who don't know about backup, who don't want to think about it, but do need it. It's Carbonite.com. Why is it great? Because it's automatic. They don't have to remember anything. In fact, I put this on my son's and my daughter's computer when they went to college on their laptops because they wouldn't have to think about it. Whenever they're connected to the internet, it's automatically backing up securely using SSL. It's affordable. It's $59.99 a year for everything on that laptop. You never have to meter the amount of data. It just does it all. I really like it for a student because you can log into your Carbonite account on any computer or the smartphone or the tablets. They have free apps, and there's your data. So it's cloud storage, too. So Henry doesn't have to take his laptop to the library, go to the library, log into the library computer, work on his paper, come home. It's a really great solution for students, for businesses. If you're a small business and you aren't backing up, you got to have offsite backup. Always one low, flat yearly rate for unlimited data. Mac or PC, I want you to try it free 2 weeks. All you have to do is use our offer code TWIT when you decide. And by the way, no credit card needed for the 2-week free trial. So I don't want to hear any excuses. Just go there and try it. If you don't like it, no big deal. If you do, please, I ask you when it says offer code that you type in TWIT because you'll get 2 free months, 14 months for the price of 12. You got to back it up to get it back. Please don't be Rico. Use Carbonite. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT. Thank you. I apologize for interrupting. We were talking about the fingerprint.
Wait a minute. This guy lost all his photos?
It was sad. The guy was actually almost in tears. He was calling from Ontario, California. And he said, but isn't there any? I said, no. If you don't have a backup. I said, there might be hope if sometime you ever connected
most
to
iTunes.
Most people
triple backup their photos.
I would hope.
My photos automatically go up to LinkedIn or to Google Plus.
Google Plus, Facebook, Dropbox. But that's the thing is, as techies, we know because we've lost data, right? So we know by hard.
My first 2 years of my blog are gone.
Yeah,
I cried that day.
But there are a lot.
Really?
Yeah,
I have them.
Do you?
You've been skimming it. You stole all your ideas.
I save everything.
Really, you lost the first 2 years of Scoble.
There's 30% of them still in the Internet Archive, but
I lost all the images in the first 10 years of Leoville because I backed up the text. But the images got lost.
10 years.
Yeah. I've been blogging since before there were blogs.
You were one of the earliest bloggers I know.
Yeah, it was very
you
early.
Were very
That's how I learned all about blogging.
From him.
Yeah, I was really? In his chat room.
No.
I don't know if that was
yeah,
true.
Yeah, just keep saying that. That's good for my reputation.
No, you were
very much ahead of his time, this Leo guy.
He's the guy who started Scoble on his career.
Started Scoble.
Started Kevin Rose.
Kevin Rose.
Started Chris
Perillo. All the goodness did you.
By the
way. How many people have started at
How
your
many
feet?
Of those people are now billionaires because of Twitter's IPO? Chris Sacca is going to be a billionaire. A billionaire. Because he was an early investor in Twitter.
I was wound up driving here. I was thinking about what Evan Williams said at TechCrunch Disrupt for the 2 hours. What a jerk.
Well, let's get to that. I'm a fingerprint reader.
Let's get back to the fingerprint.
This is Evan Williams. I just want to point out.
Evan Williams says that tech press sucks and doesn't know what they're talking about. He caused this. He brought apart.
What was he talking about at Disrupt?
He was blaming the tech bloggers for not knowing what they're talking about.
He says
what does that even mean?
it means that there's no money he's doing, for real tech journalism
He's doing
anymore.
Medium now. Well, that's a fact. This is his new business.
He's trying to get people to be real tech bloggers.
So Medium, just like Twitter, basically builds its success on our content.
Yeah.
This was always a little bit of a burn for me that Twitter was a silo. You would tweet, and all the value in Twitter comes from the tweets that the people who use it put into it. But they control it. They don't let it out. They don't let anybody else use it. They don't let... And now they're going to make a lot of money off of it. And Medium, here, Ev's doing the same thing. Now, Ev started Blogger, which was a great thing.
It was a great thing because it was at a time where there was no...
It was early blogging. He sold it to Google.
It was a great platform.
Started Odeo, which was a podcast platform. And then iTunes comes along. Apple does iTunes. And Ev says, I guess Odeo's dead.
Where I'm going with this, though, is to do real journalism. For instance, if Twit wanted to do a half-hour special on how the iPhone 5S was built.
Right.
That means you have to go and convince Katie Cotton to let you have access to Johnny Ives, which is
not going to happen.
Impossible. Yep. And then you have to pay somebody like John and a camera crew to go to China and go to, you know, see how it's built, right? That costs $10,000.
Right.
And
it's expensive.
There's no money for journalism like that. So what do? We get press release rewrites. And Twitter took a lot of the money out of this by making it, you know, you can't get noticed for good stuff anymore.
That's why I write about hot dogs.
Doesn't
totally make sense to me.
Wait a minute. Doesn't Twitter help you get noticed?
No. It sticks your good content in a stream of on my screens at home. I follow 40,000 people. I get
You go.
No, but I get. It I'm watching the world. I get to watch a new tweet every half a second. So if John writes a brilliant tweet, it's off the screen in 20 seconds.
Robert,
and there
always,
it goes.
You know what, Robert? You've always said this, and I've always said, well, why do you follow so goddamn many people? Of course,
a lot of cussing in the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
It doesn't make sense. If I follow a much more discreet number, probably around 1,500 people.
I just follow Scoble, and I can get all those. He summarizes.
I retweet. There is some
He's
way
a retweet
to retweet, but there's no money
you know,
in this stuff.
It pays, though, to have a captive audience because they have to pay attention to what you're saying. Otherwise, your pearls of wisdom will be lost like tears in the rain.
Mm-hmm. But even if – okay, let's talk about how people get paid for tech journalism. Let's say you get 5,000 hits to your blog, right? And what's the average CPM? CPM is payment per 1,000 viewers, right?
25 cents for that sort of thing.
Like, yeah, you might get $5. What do you get? What do you
25
get,
cents, really?
Yeah.
The Loop, what do you guys get for CPM, the average CPM?
I can't tell you.
What's that?
I can't tell you. I'm not really involved in that end of the business.
But it's $5 to $15, right?
It's not more than 15.
It's as low as 25 cents. High.
Yeah. Well, if you're
going with Federated Media and they're selling the creme de la creme, you might get $10, but they take 40%.
All right, so
you're getting $6.
If your blog post gets 5,000 hits, which is pretty difficult to do, actually, you know, if you're at The Verge or something, you can get and you wrote about the new iPhone, you'll get a few million. But that's pretty rare in this business. So you get 5,000 hits to your blog, and you get $5 per CPM. That means you get paid $25 to write a blog post.
Right.
You're not going to go to China and get on a plane and do some real journalism. You're going to rewrite a press release in 20 minutes.
Well, there's other things to do besides rewriting press releases.
All right. For a professional like John, he can rewrite one in about 15.
John's never rewritten press releases.
No, I don't rewrite. It's easy enough to write. I can write a whole piece.
You just copy and paste?
You do what Twit does, which is punditry. We don't do... Original. You actually, in the old days with Inside Track, you did a lot of what they called enterprise reporting, where you would actually go out and get a story and be the first to break it. But we don't ever do that. We don't need to do that because there are people doing that. What we do is we analyze. We give you context. We talk about it. And I think that's adding value. That's
But the money changed. John, when I first met you.
And by the way, we do pretty well. It's not $10.
What magazine? InfoWorld or PC?
InfoWorld, yeah.
Well, no, I've been writing. InfoWorld I was writing for until 1986. And then I went to PC Magazine. And
PC Magazine.
And of course, Macworld.
But PC Magazine back in the day was this thick.
It was up to 750 pages.
And there was millions of dollars of revenue in that magazine, right? I used to work for a magazine, so I knew how it built. Twitter eviscerated this new world, or took advantage of it at minimum. And there is no way to get journalists paid anymore because of Twitter.
Wait a minute. You're blaming Twitter for the failing of,
especially when he comes after us and says there's no quality anymore. There's no money anymore. So
oh, he's irked because, and I don't blame him.
I don't see how, but explain to me why Twitter.
I think I'm on board with Scoble 100% on this.
All right, explain it to me.
Well, there's nothing to explain. He's just going after Ev Williams for making a big, being all haughty about his attitudes. And he's always been kind of a self-absorbed character. And so now he's going, oh, there's nothing any good in it. It doesn't anymore. And he makes a big stink about it. And it offended, of all people, I want to mention this to everybody out there watching the show. It's a historical moment. I have never seen Robert Scoble upset about anything. He thinks everything is great.
He's sad. I've never seen him sad in my life. You know, actually, it's ironic because M.G. Siegler also went off against the tech journalist community. And he at TechCrunch, among others, was one of the things that brought the tech journalist world to its knees. But I still don't get how you blame Twitter for what
I blame Evan for making billions of dollars off this world where we give away our content for
but
free.
Why did PC and Magazine
then,
go
and then
away?
He expects us it's to online. Have good quality.
But why what happened that there was no revenue for PC Magazine?
It
was a weird vicious cycle of what people thought advertising was going to be effective, and all the tech companies were sold a bill of goods that online was going to be better because they can go directly to the person that it, and it's easier to track and all the rest of it.
Right.
And that's why they pulled all their ads out of the magazines. That's why you didn't see Vogue magazine destroyed because nobody was thinking that way.
Fashion is still in,
and car magazines still have some support. But the tech magazines, because of Intel, AMD, well, all these big companies.
You know what Adam said? Adam Curry. You've heard of him, right?
Yes. I work with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're out of here. Sorry. No, Adam actually said a very astute thing the last time he was on Twit. He said the problem is that you've gone from scarce inventory, the kinds of inventory ad pages.
To infinite.
Infinite inventory.
Right.
Because there's no limit to the number of banner ads. And as a result, as always, with any resource, if it goes from scarce to infinite, the value of it
drops like a
disappears.
Rock.
Disappears.
Yep.
But that's not Evan Williams' fault.
He benefited from it. And okay, he was.
I would submit he benefited.
He says he benefited from it, and he thinks it's wrong for him to take this attitude that he's taken that Scoble's criticizing.
Yeah, now he's a billionaire, and he can do something about it. He can put his money where his mouth is,
like Jeff Bezos buying the Post.
Absolutely, pay for good journalism and help people make money by doing their homework.
What is Jeff Bezos buying the Post actually? How does that help journalism in any substantial industry changing way? It might give the journalists who work at the Post a job, but it doesn't give everybody else a job. It doesn't make it, pay. But
we haven't yet seen why he bought it. That might play out over a couple of years, right?
Yeah, no, I understand that. But look, it's not just that the advertising model has changed, and it's not just that there isn't the money in it anymore. There are a lot more people doing it, and there are a lot more people saying
for free.
And they're willing to do it for free. And it comes back for me to what Harlan Ellison said about paying the writer.
Like the music industry whining about the records collapse. You sound like the movie industry complaining about piracy. Look at
that's
the world has changed. The internet is here. Figure out a way to make a living. It's not anybody's responsibility, Evs or anybody else's, to make you make a living. Figure out a way to make a living.
I have
doing
figured
it out.
That's not but the point.
I have figured it out.
You guys are whining that the internet has figured it out, and I went to work for Rackspace.
I write
it's
about
not Twitter
hot
that's
dogs.
Paying my bill.
And I also do a No Agenda show. You go to noagendashow.com. We essentially solicit money from people to listen to our...
Exactly. There's devices. All sorts of ways to try to make this work.
But when he says the tech industry doesn't know what
you know
it's
what? Evan is
about.
Irrelevant, isn't he, really? Come on, let's be honest.
No, he's not irrelevant. He's going IPO next week.
So what?
Come on.
He's a big, fat, rich guy who had one really good idea, which was Blogger.com.
Twitter was not
his idea. Right. He just happened to be around while somebody else thought of it. And I feel bad for Jack Dorsey, because while he'll probably be a billionaire too, he's
Dom.
Not...
Dom Segala got
and Dom,
zero.
Who's getting nothing. He's the programmer who wrote the gosh darn code.
Or at least...
Is that right? He doesn't get anything, that guy?
He was a contract programmer.
Didn't get nothing. He was in the room, got nothing. Jack got kicked out and then got a little bit when he got brought back. And Noah got almost nothing.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
It's very sad.
Times change. That's what Leo says.
The times have changed.
Times have changed.
You know, if you're a travel agent, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, but that's
but
no reason for Ev Williams to come out and criticize all these travel agents.
You know, let's be honest.
Leo, let's
Ev's never been a great guy.
And then
guy.
We'll get back to the fingerprint scanner.
Actually, Ev was a good guy. He gave the Odeo investors their money back, which I thought an interesting move.
Oh. I'm not blaming him for doing Twitter and taking advantage of it. I'm blaming him for becoming a billionaire and then blaming us for taking advantage of Twitter
and
understanding the business model. The business model is a $15 business model, and you can't do real journalism on $15.
Well, find another way to do it.
This is where I totally disagree with you. I mean, this is where I completely disagree with you. The problem isn't... It isn't Twitter. The problem isn't social media. The problem is people doing it for free and not valuing their own work. If you are going to do something for free, you devalue what I'm doing.
Right. It's not my business to keep you valuable. It's your business. You know, people make this complaint about designers who do spec work.
I agree with you. The problem
is not their job to keep you valuable, Peter. Your job to keep you valuable. My job to do whatever the hell I want.
But the way to get good journalism is to figure out how to, you know, fly around the world. For the last 17 months, I've been
flying. He wants to travel more.
No, I've flown around the world. We did 300 interviews for this book. It cost more than, it cost more than $100,000 in sponsorship, and it cost more than that to do the book because Rackspace was paying for my salary, right? So that's what it takes to do real journalism. But we don't want that in a world of Twitter where you get a little tweet that rolls off the screen.
I think if you wanted to yell at Craig Newmark for killing newspapers, I'd agree with you.
Craig has never gone up.
If you wanted to yell at Napster for killing the music business, I'd agree with you.
Talk to him.
I'm spreading my wisdom.
I don't know
Craig
about
Newmark
that.
Craig Newmark has never yelled at the journalists for being idiots for not getting the new business
and if
model.
If Craig Newmark gets up on the stage and says, "You newspapers are such morons," then maybe I'll. But I don't.
He kind of has.
Yeah, he kind of has, hasn't he?
But he was right. I think it's a little different, though. He's not criticizing the minions. The minions.
I didn't realize this was such a hot topic for you.
Apparently,
I care deeply about distribution and getting journalists paid because if we don't pay good journalists, if we don't find a business model for journalists, we won't get good journalism. And so
you're gonna get a hot dog.
Evan has $1 billion in his pocket. Put your money where your mouth is.
Well, maybe he will.
He won't.
Maybe he will.
Nah. Start a journalism school. Let's create a new business model.
I mean, I think
why don't you just dig a hole in the ground and call it a journalism school and throw corpses in. That's about what it amounts to.
I think to answer your question, Peter, that while it remains to be seen, I think Jeff Bezos may merely be kind of a philanthropist who says, I want to take some of my money and support journalism. And that may be how a lot of journalistic enterprises end up getting supported.
No. Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post because it's the best lobbying mechanism he could ever afford.
That's how I figure it as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it cheaper just to take that $250 million and spread it among some congressmen?
No. That's the joke of it. Those guys want a lot more money than the paper's worth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Yep.
And do they read the paper and believe it?
No, they get their constituents read it, and their staff does, and then that's what happens.
Yeah. Well,
smart move.
I do mourn the passing of good journalism. Absolutely. and I think we need to find a way to make, or I fear the passing of good journalism. There's still people doing it.
Nah.
No?
No. Well, I mean, the New York Times, the Washington Post, but these guys are all institutionalized.
Ev could sponsor three shows on your show and do a lot for journalists.
Ev could give me $100 million. I would do this for the rest of my life and make sure that it was independent, had high integrity, and he'd still have money for cigarettes. So, I don't think that's going to happen.
Good cigarettes
we're doing quite well. We found a model that works.
I found a model.
You found a model that works.
Yeah. But it just bugged me. Anyways, fingerprints.
I wouldn't send my kids to journalism school, to J school.
No. Bad idea.
Yeah.
Unless they do new media.
Well, that's what, and you know, who should really be in on this conversation, and I know you talked to him on Media Twits and others, but Jeff Jarvis, Jay Rosen.
The chat room was...
Yeah, those are the guys who...
Become a professor.
Fingerprint reader. So it's got a fingerprint reader right on there.
On the home button.
You don't press it in, or Annie Anako played with it at the event. Did you guys go, Peter or Robert, did you go to the event?
No, sir.
No. So Annie Anako was there. He said it's quite easy to train. What you do is you put your finger, you don't press. And he said my first initial reaction was to press it. And, of course, it goes home when you do that. You just kind of touch it, and it'll draw the swirls, and you do it a few times. And then he said it seems to be quite accurate.
Yep.
I think the thing that's telling in this that Apple's not only using it for authentication. And by the way, I was talking to a police detective today who said this a lot of pressure from law enforcement to on Apple to do something about the iPhone problem. People steal iPhones like crazy.
If you want to go see something funny, there's a huge flea market in Oakland that used to be at the there's old couple of drive-in theaters that used to be there, and now it's a giant flea market, and it's like 3 or 4 days a week, and you can go there, and there are thousands and thousands of iPhones you can buy.
All stolen, probably.
They don't say that, but it's probably true. And there's of all sorts, and there's a bunch of guys who can repair iPhones. It's a bonanza.
How many are left in taxi cabs or at the airport where you go through the security?
So left or stolen?
I know people who've left their iPhones there, right? And if you don't go back and claim them, they go probably to the flea market.
And remember, one of the marketing things that Apple did that was so brilliant was the white earbuds. Everybody else was doing other colors, and they did white. They had their billboards with the silhouettes with white earbuds. That turned out to be great marketing, but also bad if you're in the New York City subway wearing white headphones. You essentially were guaranteeing that you'd get robbed of your iPhone. So there was pressure on Apple to do something about it. I don't think that's the only reason they did a fingerprint. I do know police are happy about this because, for two reasons. One, it means the phone is authenticated properly and locked. Here's how you do it. But I have to admire Apple because they put their thumbs where their mouth is. They also said you can buy stuff on iTunes and the App Store. Just using a thumbprint.
Only half of iPhone users use a passcode, by the way.
That's what they
say. So if your iPhone gets stolen or left somewhere, somebody has access to your entire life. And that's where I'm thinking this is going. And I think this is also why Apple didn't play up some of the other things that they had in their arsenal to play up.
iBeacon, for one. I was shocked that they didn't announce this.
I am too, but I think I understand why. They are building a personal cloud, and so is on the Android side of things, too. Soon we're going to have dozens of sensors on us, around us. We're going to walk through fields of sensors. And if you don't know that that iPhone is yours, you're going to be on somebody else's personal cloud.
Hey, you, get off of my cloud.
This is kind of like the movie Idiocracy.
And let's say your wife picks up your iPhone and starts doing stuff. Well, she's messing with your personal cloud
context. My son hasn't yet figured out that I'm getting his photo stream from college.
That's funny.
I hope he doesn't watch the show.
We had a situation similar to that.
I want to be there for Thanksgiving dinner.
Peter, go ahead.
I said, I discovered today that my 13-year-old had a personal cloud, so I told him to take a shower.
Hey-o.
So, go ahead, John.
We found that somebody that we all know very well, a female that's...
Gina?
No.
Okay.
Blonde. That apparently had hooked up
Catherine
her...
Hagel?
No.
Hagel?
That would be good.
Yeah.
She hooked up her apparently some stream to some photo service that that we had access to because it was like locked onto somebody's browser or something.
So everybody's looking at the pictures.
There's a lot of pictures and there's a lot of little interesting conversations. I don't have it on here.
Oh, all right.
But it was like, you got to be careful when you do this kind of thing.
Makes me really nervous. However, so authentication, that solves it, right? Because it's tied to your fingerprint.
What I'm talking about with this personal cloud, and Google Glass is an example of this. This thing has a Bluetooth radio in it. It's talking to my phone.
Right.
So if you steal my phone and you have access to my everything that's being sensed on my Google Glass, right?
Right.
And it's going to be a lot. We're going to have sensors on us soon that tell us whether we have cancer or not.
Right.
We're going to have sensors. Already, my friend who's an asthmatic has a sensor on his asthma dispenser.
Isn't it?
Right?
I agree that this authentication is potentially huge, even for purchasing. But it seems like a bad time for Apple to announce this. With all the news about NSA spying, the first reaction a lot of people had is, oh, yeah, great. And then the fingerprint will be sent to the NSA.
Do you think that's
which
why
is not true, by
a bigger
the way.
Deal about the iPhone C instead of the iPhone S? You know?
So that could be for people who want privacy.
People get
you don't have
out.
To turn on the fingerprint reader either.
But it's a real security device. I actually like it. And we should talk about the court problems with this because it really does identify you.
Courts have held in the past that anything that's in your head, like a password, is testimony against yourself. It is covered by the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
Yeah, that's been pretty flexible.
Yeah, but they've been pretty clear that you can't.
I think a blood test is a good example of testifying against yourself.
Well, and that's the thing. That's not something in your head, right? Your fingerprint is like a blood test. And in the past, the courts have been very clear.
When it's
biometrics are not protected.
And certainly when it's hooked up to a blood sensor that you're going to be wearing, that is going to.
In other words, you're not testifying against yourself when you put your finger on here. So
who are you testifying against then?
Well, that's the irony of this, but that seems to be
the case.
Sounds
like you're testifying against yourself if you ask me.
Well, I think you're a little too sensible. That's the problem. Article in Wired magazine talking about this, and I think that, I mean, we'll see, but I think that this, something to be aware of, you may be more secure from law enforcement if you use a password than if you use a fingerprint. Fingerprint may be more secure against others. This is an article by Marsha Hoffman,
the second thing
attorney on Wired Magazine.
This new motion sensor.
She teaches at
this
Hastings.
This new motion sensor not only shows where you are, it shows what you are doing.
So you can tell if you're on a roller coaster.
Roller coaster. It already can tell whether you're walking, running, biking, driving. Right?
Yeah.
And Google is working on – Google and Apple are
sure,
both
the Moto X
on,
knows when you're driving, right?
They're working on contextual operating systems.
Right.
They soon are going to know whether you're skiing or shopping or having sex or
talk about
on.
This.
I don't usually have the phone on me while you're having sex.
It doesn't need to be
it
on
can
you.
Listen, though. It's near you.
I have a bed sensor. Bedit makes a bed sensor that listens to me, watches all my motion.
Yeah.
I think this
you're
is
nuts.
Taking a little
can see
too
you, my
far,
heart
Robert.
Rate is just so sensitive it knows my heart rate.
That's true.
It's very
you have
sensitive.
A distinctive heart rate.
If you have an Xbox Kinect in your house, the new Kinect
does
the
it
new
know
Kinect
if
can see your heart
how
rate
can I
by
say
looking
this
your face.
Delicately. Does it know if you're alone?
The Kinect will. The Kinect will. The Kinect will.
It's a, yeah, it's the old,
the Kinect
yeah.
can heart see two faces.
Yeah, it knows you're alone having sex. Yes, right.
So Apple did not, quite noticeably, put NFC in here. Every other phone now has NFC. In fact, I use NFC all the time on the Moto X to authenticate. Not that a lot of merchants are using NFC yet. Peter, what do you think? Does that mean Apple never will do NFC? What does Jim?
Well,
what do
NFC
Jim and Peter think?
NFC, I can't speak for Jim, but NFC is a solution in search of a problem. You know, I mean, outside of the PayPass swipey card things that you see at like the drugstores or some grocery stores. Does anybody actually use PayPal?
Yeah,
I mean, okay, I'll give you a lot of examples of NFC. There's a Panasonic printer that, and then there's a lot of times where you can do this. That'll do pairing.
Panasonic printer?
Bluetooth pairing
well,
when you
popular.
Tap your phone to it. The Bluetooth pairing happens. There are cars where you could put where you have NFC on the dashboard. You tap it, the Bluetooth pairing happens. In this case, I use it for authentication. These are the Motorola skips. So when my phone is on the skip, I don't have to lock it. It unlocks itself. These are all, I think, very valid uses of NFC. Now, Apple has, I think, a competing technology, this iBeacons technology.
Wait.
It'd be my guess that Apple has decided it owns iBeacons, it owns Authentix patents. It would prefer to use its own proprietary system than NFC.
It's using low-energy Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
So
only.
I have a low-energy
right.
Bluetooth
exactly
radio.
Right.
I have a low-energy Bluetooth radio on my keychain. The startup gave it to me. And it right now it's emitting my identifier into the air.
Actively.
It's sitting there. And the battery, by the way, doing that lasts almost 2 years. So a little coin battery. And the cost of this, Broadcom, I just interviewed Broadcom's CEO, is less than $10 to build this.
And what's the point of it?
The point of this is now with the new iPhone, as I get closer to this beacon, using the iBeacon technology that's built in the new iPhone, it can tell how close I'm to this device and can cause things to happen. So,
like what?
Well, like I could put my phone next to my iBeacon. And then it can do the same
the
thing.
Fitbit Flex uses Bluetooth LE to
seems like a lot.
Send
each of our
iPhones
is going to be an iBeacon, right? So as I get closer to you, it could warn me. John Dvorak is getting close to you.
Look out!
Maybe a little too
Here's
close.
Another interesting thing
he's
is
coming
there
up from behind.
There are companies selling inexpensive iBeacon devices that you can put in a retail location,
Estimote.
For instance.
It's a good
So, yeah, Estimote's $10. Is it a month?
$30 per
device.
And then maybe a little cloud charge.
Yeah. And so what happens is you walk into a merchant. Now, of course, in this case, I think you'll have to have an iPhone. I think this is going to be Apple proprietary.
It will work on
the
Android.
The name is iBeacon, but, friend.
iBeacon is the protocol and the software on top of the low-energy Bluetooth
system. I said Bluetooth LE is open, but you don't have it unless you have iBeacon.
Well, what iBeacon does is make it very easy for developers to build these new kinds of applications.
So that's the Apple proprietary label.
Right.
Or on top of an open standard.
And also, you know, everybody who has a new iPhone has this technology built in.
Even old ones. So the 5 has a Bluetooth LE.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're going to walk into a bar like at the Ritz. We're putting these beacons into the Ritz, by the way,
probably why Apple made the 5C. Because they'd like everybody to have these technologies. They don't want to sell a lot of
these. Let's get back to the Ritz having a bunch of spy devices inside the bar.
That's why this timing is so bad.
It's not a spy.
Remember the British kiosks that had the sensors in them? Everybody up in arms, they had to take them out? This is bad timing.
This is like the guy who did the YouTube video where he took his RFID, like fast pass that goes across the bridge. Apparently throughout New York, they're looking at this. Yeah. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave
one. You wanted to blow them up.
Actually, next time I'm here, I'm going to stick one underneath your desk. So every time somebody comes into the Twit Studios, they're going to know they're in the Twit Studio, and your phone could auto-check you in, right?
You know,
Foursquare.
I didn't hear Foursquare. I didn't hear Robert mention this, and I don't know. I'm sorry if I missed it. But one of the other advantages of Bluetooth LE compared to NFC is that, as Craig Federighi pointed out, you don't have to walk around the room bumping your phone into things.
Right.
So it's NFC got a range of up to, 50 feet?
Right. 50 feet, maybe even further. Some of the startups say it's 100 yards or so. But let's say it's 10 feet, 30 feet like Bluetooth is. This is a little light, basically, and it's a light with an ID on it. And if you have a sensor that gets close to it, you can know it's 2 inches away.
Why do I want to check in anywhere?
Because I like checking in.
You walk into the coffee shop, why you do say, you like John, it? We've got your drink ready.
John,
you walk into the coffee shop, they've got your drink ready, you've paid for it already, all you do is you pick it up and walk out the door. Yeah.
They're assuming I'm going to order the same thing over and over?
You don't have to. You can order something different.
There's a company called Tap and Go already, which is on 25 college campuses already. When you wake up and you walk out of your dorm room, Tap and Go goes, would you like your normal coffee? Because it knows your normal coffee.
I just think in this, all of a sudden, in society, we're very sensitive to this kind of surveillance. Now, admittedly, we're in a kind of a HD DVD versus Blu-ray situation where we've got two competing technologies. We've got NFC from everybody but Apple, and then we've got Apple with iBeacon, and they are incompatible. One of these guys is going to win. I think it probably is iBeacon. I think this bodes very poorly for NFC. But NFC seems less intrusive than Bluetooth LE.
Now, NFC has a huge advantage, cost and size. So
it's cheap.
The credit card industry is standardizing on NFC for the credit
card. Yeah, you're not going to put this in a credit card.
No, and this needs a battery. The
NFC just sits there.
It draws the power off of the wireless.
Let's go back to why you like Foursquare.
We're going to do that in just a second.
Oh, another teaser.
You know, I was at a cafe just about a year ago, and Scobel shows up. And I said, how'd you find me? Foursquare.
He's tracking you like a dog. Could have been an assassin.
In fact, I forgot to check in here. So
I was happy to see
Foursquare, the social network for stalkers.
Stalkers. You're stalking me, Scoble.
No, actually, let's talk about the use case of the Ritz.
Hold on a second. We will. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit right now about how to get your new iPhone 5C or 5S, how to maybe sell your old iPad or at least get a quote before the new ones come out. I think maybe we'll see some in October. I'm talking about Gazelle.com. If you've got gadgets gathering dust in a drawer, in a closet, in a small rental space above a gas station, John C. Dvorak, then you need Gazelle.com. Gazelle's buying your old iPads, your old phones, your tablets, your iPods, your MacBooks. They're buying Surface tablets. They're buying Nexus 7s and Kindles. They're buying iPhone 5s, 4s, 3s, 3Gs. Here's a chance to get cash. And you might be amazed. Let's say you like the look. You like the look of that iPhone 5S. You want to sell your old iPhone. I've got an AT&T iPhone, 64 gigabytes, worth $320. By the way, this is cool because if you accept this offer now, normally it's locked in for 30 days. They're going to lock it in through the end of October, which gives you plenty of time to get your new iPhone, even if there's a shortage. Transfer your data over. And then mail it to Gazelle. They'll pay the postage. In fact, they're going to send you a box prepaid. So you might as well throw in the old iPad. You want the new iPad? Let's just get a quote, because I don't think this iPad's going to gain in value once the new iPad's announced. So what do you got? A 64 gig LTE, $350. Boom. Throw that in the box. You know, I've got an old Microsoft Surface. I think I probably don't really want this Surface RT anymore. Let's just see how much that is worth. I love doing this. Because this stuff is like, this is like cash in your pocket. I've got the power supply. I've got the touch type cover. Interesting. iPad's worth $350. Surface $173. Oh, well, hey, it's money. I'm not going to turn it down. GAZELLE.com. Once you get the new stuff, you've transferred your data over, throw it in the box. They pay the postage. You send it to Gazelle. Their data experts, by the way, will wipe it if you forget to. They'll also check the quality to make sure it's as good as you said it is. And here's something nice. If it's better, they'll give you more money. They actually do that. I've heard from people many times. Then they'll either send you a check. You can get a PayPal credit if you want to get it right away. If you spend a lot of money on Amazon, I'd get the Amazon gift card. It bumps it up by 5%. Isn't that nice? Find out why Gazelle has sent out over $100 million to over 600,000 customers over the last couple of years. Gazelle.com. Lock in today's price. Send it in by October 31st, and you're going to get money for your old iPhone. It's not going up in value. Gazelle.com. We thank them for their support. It's kind of the best way to recycle. Moving on. You were going to talk. What did you got? You got Twizzles? Swizzles?
Red vines. Red vines. Big difference.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Between Twizzlers and Red Vines?
Twizzlers are terrible. They are.
Okay. I could go down this road, but I'm trying to decide if it's worth it or
not. You've gone down the road before.
So, Robert, you were starting to talk a little bit about the Ritz and why they put in eye beacons.
So,
by the way, when you say we, do you own the Ritz now?
Pretty much.
Okay. You live there, right? It's just down the road from your house, yeah.
Me and a friend who was on the first iPhone team and a guy...
Did you talk these guys into it?
Yeah. We're putting these estimates into...
Do they know you're doing this?
The Ritz doesn't have any clue.
They do now.
Yeah.
That's got to be illegal. If you're putting it in the Ritz without their knowledge?
Yeah.
This is what the CIA does.
If you were the CIA, you couldn't do that.
Yeah, you could.
Well, maybe you could.
Well, not legally, maybe.
So, you know, when you drive up to the Ritz with this new iPhone and this new iBeacon,
yeah,
it can know that you're coming into the Ritz. And it can say, welcome, Leo Laporte.
Just like that. We're gonna have, that
won't it be,
at Walmart,
won't it be
too.
Puzzling to the Ritz people when it does that and they don't even know why? Hey, Ritz, you knew I was here. Yeah, really?
We're doing it as a demo.
Oh, okay.
Because we're probably going to try to sell the Ritz on this. But
ah.
Hey, remember back in 2002 when they released Minority Report and this was still science fiction?
Yeah.
First of all, you need an app that has iBeacons built into it. So you need to build
onto your phone?
You need to build a fake Ritz app to demo this. Or you need to talk the Ritz into doing this, right? So you get the Ritz app of the future. You walk into the Ritz. It hits an iBeacon in the entryway.
Never happens.
It knows you're in the entryway.
Too many people are sneaking in and out of the Ritz. They don't want this to go on.
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's your privacy concern.
And you don't think they're tracking you at the front desk when you checked in for a room? Okay.
Not if I'm John Doe, they're not.
They have your credit card.
I'll pay in cash.
Your credit card's a better...
Or maybe Bitcoin.
Your credit card's better. Yeah. Does the Ritz take Bitcoin yet? I'll be impressed if it does. Anyways, you walk in the entryway and it can say, hey, Leo Laporte.
But you have like a private meeting with some venture capitalist. You don't want anybody to know about it, and you can't disable this thing. It's not a good idea.
Well, that's what's interesting about all this. All of this is happening. The technology is all arriving at about the worst possible time. And you write about this in the book.
Yeah. We have a whole thing on privacy.
And yet, you know, because of the NSA revelations, I think everybody's a little gun-shy. And, of course, the first thing people said about the fingerprint reader is, oh, they're sending them to the NSA. Of course, they're not.
But you're going to get free ice cream for...
Eventually they will.
You're going to get free ice cream.
You're going to get free ice cream.
Why should I worry?
And you don't even have free ice cream in the studio here.
Why do I like Foursquare?
Because
it gives me deals. When I check in and somebody gives me $2 off a coffee or something, you know? I get deals all the time by checking in.
How much money do you save, you think?
A couple bucks here, a couple bucks there.
You don't even need the money. Okay.
Yeah, it's nice. Why do we give up our privacy on our Safeway loyalty card.
I don't use a Safeway loyalty card. And when I go through Safeway and they ask for my loyalty card, I said, use the one on the cash register. I get the same deals.
Yeah, whatever. It's true. You don't get the same deals because I get more deals in email to me after I spend $1,000.
Yeah, so that all goes to the insurance company so they can rip you off on premiums. I'm telling you, that's where all the data ends up. Oh, look how much booze this guy's bought. Holy crap. We got to up his ante on his insurance.
Well, see, there's somewhere in the middle between
look
John...
at all the bacon this guy eats.
Every morning. Every
how
morning.
How much bacon can one
bacon
person
and
eat?
Eggs. Every
jerk
morning.
Jerk up his prices.
Yeah. Your doctor's going to give you a note. You know?
What happened next?
You didn't work out. You didn't step enough steps today.
All right.
You didn't
all
work
right,
out
paranoid anymore. Mongers. Here's another one. I just read an article, and I can't poke any holes in it. If you have an Android phone, you do. You've probably noticed when you get a new phone and you log into your Google account, it immediately starts downloading apps and data and logs you into your Wi-Fi access bot and knows the password. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
There's a check mark in
my
the settings.
My Scobalizer if you come over my house,
okay.
By the way.
There's a check mark in the settings that let Google back up your data and settings. Yeah. And it's a great convenience. I mean, it's in fact one of the things I love about Android. You get a new phone and you're kind of up and running. But somebody's pointed out, I think quite rightly, this means Google knows every single Wi-Fi password probably in the world at this point. Michael Horowitz, defensive computing column in Computer World, points out that, A, in order for this to work, not only would this have to be set up to Google and stored on their servers, it would have to be unencrypted to be sent back to you and to have it work. Google, according to Google, there are 748 million phones out there, most of them Android phones and tablets, and probably most of them set to automatically back up your data. And now, I'm not worried about Google knowing every Wi-Fi password in the world, but of course, Google is and has been subpoenaed. Or not even subpoenaed, fizzled.
You can change your password, you know.
Okay, so this isn't a security issue at all. I have to say, this, I think, is a great tool for the FBI and the NSA and others. We know one of the things that these law enforcement agencies do are hack the bad guys. The easiest way for them, for instance, to break PGP is not to go in and by the front door because it's strong encryption, still works, but to watch your computer to get a malware, spyware on
your computer. Along this line, keylogger
New York or what?
Right.
Along this line.
Best way to do this, get into your network. Can do it from the street now.
Or just say, hey, can I borrow your machine for a minute?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. And I'm a little worried as I cross the border because apparently when you cross the border into the United States, there's nothing to stop them from seizing your stuff.
Right.
And searching it.
Yeah, that's what I would do if I were them.
And if you're on a list, there's and no...
You're coming in, you Leo Laporte, no, I've heard of this
that's
guy.
That's right. There's no Fourth Amendment to people coming into the U.S.
Right,
because well,
you're still outside.
They also know which is your common five Wi-Fi areas, and they know that you're out of zone, and they can put up your password again. I get asked my password from Google all the time when I'm not on my home Wi-Fi.
Oh, right. Once in a while, they have a little message that comes up and asks you some crazy questions to see if you...
No, it just asks
see,
you for
now,
your
if you just had a fingerprint scanner on your Google Android phone...
I'm all in,
you
man.
Might as well, have a,
well except well, I'm on the Android side of the fence.
I you know...
Yeah, you're going to have... Your stuff is going to be confiscated when you come back.
I think so. So there's three ways you can go. One is you can give up entirely, as Robert has done.
Yes, he's given up.
I got my identifier on
he might as well bleed out right here
just give them everything they want. I got nothing to
hide. I want the ambulance to come to this Bluetooth radio.
At the other end of the spectrum, you can say, well, damn it, no, I am going to go off the grid. Right? I am going to move to Alaska. I'm never going to use another credit card again. I'm going to pay everything
in
cash.
What would be the point?
Right. Then you're basically saying I'm not going to live very well, but at least I'll be private. Nobody will want to know what I'm doing, but at least I'll be private.
I'd like to get a backyard nuke. You know, they're only this big.
Could you say that a little louder? I don't think they got you.
No, the little bitty generators
really?
Are about the size of a
generator, not weapon.
No, a backyard nuke for 400 years of... power forever.
And where do you
years.
Get the enriched plutonium?
It's like a teaspoon. You don't need that much of it.
Yeah,
it's right. Hard to come by. but these devices.
I would love one of those.
No, everybody.
You know
would.
What our power bill is here? $5,000 a month
for this studio.
Yeah,
turn off some lights.
I know. Would love a little nuke. Can we get a little nuke in the basement? Do you need to have reactor rods, cores?
No. These are all self-contained. Yeah. These are
How
great
do you scram
devices.
Them?
How do you what?
Scram them.
What do you mean scram?
What if you what if you get in that? What do they
doesn't
call that?
Happen? These are these new the new engineering for these things is astonishing.
Who's making these?
General Electric makes a neighborhood sized one.
Wow.
They don't sell it in the United States, of course.
So if they don't ever get in a runaway condition where they melt through the core of the earth?
No, this is you're living in the 50s.
So, wait. Leo, you said that you've got the bleed out on the table option.
Bleed out on the table, the move to Alaska option.
Which I'm calling the Unabomber option.
The Unabomber option. Yeah. I got two more for you.
Okay.
There is the option that many of us geeks attempt, which is, oh, I'm going to use PGP and I'm going to make sure everything's secure.
Silent circle.
I'm going to, the silent circle. Let's call it the silent circle.
No, there's
that's a guy program. Phil Zimmerman does it. He's got Navy SEALs working for him, which makes it all the more secure, I'm sure. Of course, they got out of the email business because they realized they couldn't secure email. So, so there's the silent circle option, which, remains to be seen how effective that is. There is the fourth and I think the most important option. The let's lobby our members of Congress.
And fire some of these
guys. Fire them. Do whatever we need to do to get them to stand up and say these are the constitutional protections against illegal search and seizure. And we want you to honor them.
When's the next election?
Now you're just talking crazy.
And besides
am I wrong? But that seems to me the four options that are reasonable.
I'm good for the last one.
Yes, that's what I vote for. I think, Rush Holt?
Successful, so I'm living in one of the other options.
Yeah, well, I kind of am tempted
the
to
just give
up.
The system is supposed to make that very sensible.
The Surveillance State Repeal Act, something you probably should write your member of Congress about. Rush Holt, who's a Democrat from New Jersey and a physicist, so unlike many members of Congress, actually understands things like strong encryption. Has proposed the Surveillance State Repeal Act. It would repeal the Patriot Act and the FISA Amendments Act.
Mm-hmm.
It would reinstate a uniform probable cause-based warrant standard for surveillance, prohibit the federal government from forcing technology companies from building in hardware or software backdoors. Mm-hmm. It would include true legal protections for national security whistleblowers, real protection, as well as changes to the FISC courts.
Search Easy Pass New York City. Because if you get an Easy Pass in New York City right now, which is how you go through the toll gates, through the bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
They're pinging those
things. No, that's what I said earlier.
They're pinging those things as you drive around.
Yeah, you weren't listening.
Oh,
well. Well, you're carrying this stupid thing on your keychain.
I don't care.
You're announcing.
Like I said, no, he's all so in.
I'm all in.
Hey, I know. I'm over here.
I'd love to send NSA $20 so I could get all my data.
I'm
going to
do a combination of the science. I'm not going Unabomber yet, but I might. I'm not going Scoble yet, but I might do the Silent Circle plus the Anthony Weiner option, which is to get...
To what? The Anthony Weiner option? What the heck could that be?
We need a name for it. The Carlos Danger option, which is to get the laws changed and to write a members of Congress and say, we're going to Wiener you if you don't do what we ask you to do.
Good luck.
I thought the Carlos Danger option was using a different appendage than your fingers for the fingerprint scanner.
That's another option. You know,
beware Leo's photo stream.
The chat room's having a lot of fun with us.
All right. So,
hi, chat room.
I just feel like those are the kind of the choices, and I think that we need to really think about this and do something about it. Now, getting back to the fingerprint reader, I don't think this gives information to the NSA.
This is a long story.
It's a hash.
It's a long, it's like a Shaggy Dog story about the fingerprint reader.
Outboard motor.
What are they going to? They're holding back their good stuff.
iBeacon.
Who's they?
Apple.
Okay.
They're holding it back because when Google Glass comes out in February,
that's what the Apple optimists say. No, really, they got good stuff. They're holding it back.
Well,
they,
so does the Microsoft Labs.
Yeah. Now that's true, but that's for a different reason.
So what do they got? What's going to happen?
They have iBeacon. They have fingerprint sensor. They have this new motion sensor, which Nike.
It does seem to be fitting together, doesn't it?
It's a personal cloud.
Yeah.
There's going to be more.
And by the
way.
This new 5S has something called the M7 processor, much like Motorola's X8 processor. It's low-power processors that watch things that are going on. Again, your book is very timed very well. Yep. In this case, it seems like health mostly, pedometer, that kind of thing.
So next year, iWatch is coming.
Yeah.
It has.
Will it require an iPhone 5?
It'll require iBeacons.
It'll require iBeacons.
So you have to have
a
decently new iPhone.
What do you think? You think, Peter, that sounds reasonable? It does seem like there's a whole plan.
Sounds interesting.
There's a plan here.
I am not interested in the M7 on the iPhone 5S. I'm really interested in what Apple is going to do this with wearables, which it seems, you know, all signs point to Apple doing some kind of wearable in the future. Right. That is where this stuff is going to be very interesting.
Although, isn't this the beginning of a wearable? Because this with the M7, it is at least in a low power state able to monitor movement.
Well, sure. I mean, there's wearable that. There's also the Core Motion API that Apple is introducing for iOS 7 developers. So, you know, they're introducing the technology with the 5S. They're introducing the technology for developers with Core Motion. They're giving them the opportunity to start building apps. And we're going to see a ton of cool stuff come out for the 5S in the coming year. And, you know, every device that Apple produces, you know, with iOS on it from here on out is going to have the M7 or some variation thereof. You know, it just seems like a real natural for people to have.
Right. How about 64-bit? Is that a marketing term? Apple does have pride of place. They're the first mobile platform to have a 64-bit system on a chip. They are, of course, using the V8 ARM core in this, but this is the first to do it. Android can't do it. Samsung immediately stood up saying, we'll do that, but Android is currently 32-bit, so you'd have to have a new Android for this.
What's the point?
What is the point? Anybody?
Peter?
Bueller?
Okay, I mean, first of all, there's the most obvious thing that a lot of journalists have pointed out, and that's that 64-bit gives you the ability to address more than 4 gigabytes of memory. And
no phone alive does that, or even the iPad.
Right, we don't know what the 5S has in it, but let's assume that it's pretty similar to the iPhone 5. It might have a gigabyte. Right. You know, it's not that big a deal.
You don't want to put more RAM in because it uses a lot of battery.
That also means that there are 64-bit registers inside the thing. So it not only can it take, not only can it address more memory, but it can also take the data that it's got and process it in bigger chunks. You know, people are doing more and more sophisticated graphics on these things. Game developers, programmers who are making apps that do any kind of video recording or image recording, you know, high resolution sound, all this stuff has benefits under 64 gigs. Another thing that is really interesting to speculate on, and this is something that Renee Ritchie at iMore and I have talked about on the iMore show, is what this means for Apple's processor roadmap for its desktop machines in the future. Does this signal some kind of convergence, you know, where Apple might stop using Intel processors in MacBook Air someday? You know, Renee pointed out it would be really nice to have a MacBook Air that ran for 24 hours on a single charge. As efficient as those Haswell processors are, you know, ARM processors can probably do a lot better. So I think that there are a lot of ramifications for this as we go out. And, you know, I don't think that it's a marketing gimmick. I think that it's not 64-bit for 64-bit's sake. I think this is Apple laying the groundwork for a lot of cool stuff that it's going to introduce on the mobile platform in the coming years.
I guess that's the reason I think it's marketing. Yes, all of that's true, but the word is years. Yeah. You don't need a chip now that can do all of that. It will help in some areas. Crypto, you know, you can use bigger numbers. You have higher precision and graphics. Programmers probably won't rush to take advantage of that. I think maybe down the road you'll have an iPhone or a mobile device with 4 gigs of RAM, but it has to be really more than 4 gigs of RAM. I don't think that's in the next few years. Apple, in fact, puts less RAM in its mobile stuff than anybody. They're always very careful to put just the right amount of RAM in. The Galaxy Note has 3 gigs, and that's a lot. The Note 3. I don't see a lot of advantage to 64-bit. It's a bigger number. Double 32. It's twice as good.
You know, you've also got to bear in mind, though, that this isn't Apple's first rodeo with 64-bit. They did the 32-bit to 64-bit transition a while ago. And did it very smoothly. And they're going to repeat that with this time around. You know, it's not going to be a tough transition for iOS 7 developers to.
Well, you just do it in Xcode. It's very easy. Xcode has
What did Donald Mustard from Chair Entertainment say when he was showing off Infinity Blade 3? That it basically took them a couple of hours to refit the code to run on the 64-bit.
That's why I don't understand. There's really no rush. You know what? I think they did it because they could, because the V8 was out. They had an ARM design that was 64-bit, and they knew it looks great.
Might as well get used to coding early.
Every, you know, there's no change in how you're coding it, really. You just flip a switch in the compiler. Yeah. So I don't think anybody's working at such a low level that they're going to say, oh, I can have a 64-bit register. Let me take advantage of that. I just don't think people work at that level.
Yeah, not today.
And I really am skeptical at the notion that iOS may be the desktop platform of the future.
No, I don't think so either. I think that iOS and OS X are going to stay distinct from one another. But I can see Apple converging the hardware at some point in the future. That's maybe the difference.
We could see other devices that are iOS-based, though. TV, maybe.
You know what's ironic is Apple was one of the founders. Apple founded ARM. They were one of the founders, along with Acorn, of ARM, and then sold it off.
And then they're back.
Big supporters. Are they using Intel, if that's the truth, if you're Intel, you're shaking in your boots.
Are they using iOS in the data center anywhere?
No.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Why would they? It just strikes me that the needs
If you can save power in the data center, it's a big deal. And so,
that's interesting. So instead of a rack of Mac Pros, you have a rack of iPhone 5S's?
That would be smaller. That would be really interesting.
There's a hell of a lot of processing power.
You can get those phones cheap at the Oakland flea market.
You know, all right, I want you to do this. Get the nuclear reactor. I want you to get 100 phones. I want you to build a server farm.
I don't think we're too far off. A friend of mine is in the Thiel program. He's 17 years old, and he builds data centers in garbage cans with a solar array on the top, and they run off the solar array. And because they're so low power, they do a lot of work. And so I'm wondering, is there a data center thing coming out from Apple?
We've got garbage can data centers, flea market selling phones and repairing phones, and backyard nuclear reactors. When did we step into a William Gibson novel?
It really feels like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
The future is freaky.
Yeah. Now, iOS 7 is coming in just a few days, whether you like it or not. I guess you can say no. My counsel to my radio audience is do not install it right away. Not only is it a great change in how things work.
Big change.
Some apps won't work with it. I wouldn't be the first to do it. And here's a little thing that bugs the hell out of me. This is iOS 7, is the zooming. This is really, it's making me, it makes me queasy every time.
See, you're too old.
Am I too old? Because this really bugs me the way it reassembles. There's too much of this is the time machine zooming.
People are telling me that the thing is a battery hog.
iOS 7?
Yeah.
That has not been my experience. Actually, it's been quite good on this. This is an old iPhone, obviously, the iPhone 5. Yeah. Nobody has the iPhone.
The old and crappy iPhone 5.
It's so ugly, isn't it? Anymore. Gosh, I really wish I had a gold one.
Is gold the new black?
I did immediately change the wallpaper to something a little bit less candy colored. Yeah. But you still are stuck with the new Apple icons. And I just don't like this color scheme, but I guess I'm getting old.
You can get old.
The other thing that I thought was kind of funny, you know, Apple's going to be giving away the iWork package, Keynote and Numbers and
That's
Pages,
a big deal.
And they haven't updated these icons. I guess before Wednesday, they're going to have to get these icons looking like the new stuff.
That's a big deal. The fact that they're giving away the iWork app, the iWorks app with new machines running iOS 7. That's a shot across. That's a direct shot across the bow of Microsoft with the Surface products.
Is this new direction really aimed at the enterprise instead
aimed
of the
kids?
No. The fingerprint scanner, the free iWork. The fingerprint scanner is a real big deal for an enterprise, right? We do not, in fact, at Rackspace, it's illegal not to use a passcode on your devices. We force you to use a passcode because we don't want your phone to get ripped off and then somebody's getting into our data centers, right?
You know, if you take a look at what Apple's been doing with iCloud over the past few years, they've been generally ratcheting up the security for your Apple ID, for example. You know, it used to be that you could have whatever you wanted to for your Apple ID, and then now it's got to be 8 characters. Now it's got to have an uppercase and a lowercase and a number, and now a symbol. And maybe you should use, you know, 2 different words separated by something. It gets more and more complicated. And, you know, this is overwhelming for a lot of people. And let's not forget, you know, iPhones are their best-selling product by far. Yep. And the majority of the people who are using iPhones are not you, they're not me, they're not the people in the audience. They are muggles. They're normal, ordinary...
It's for muggles.
Right, and when it says...
human beings.
Right.
The fingerprint scanner is for muggles. It makes it a lot easier. I was telling, on the weekends, I work at an Apple specialist. And we don't sell the iPhone, but we get a lot of people coming in off the street asking for help with them or questions about them. And I was talking up the iPhone 5S today for a woman who was interested in getting an iPhone for the first time. And I mentioned the fingerprint scanner, and she's like, oh my God, I need that, because I can never remember passwords. I never enter them right on the little keyboard on the screen. This is a big deal for regular, normal human beings, not IT people.
Well, in our conference rooms at Rax, we have 5,000 people, so we're now a mid-size enterprise, and we have all Apple TVs in our conference rooms. So
it's great. You walk in, use AirPlay. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And so
that means everybody's using Macs, right?
Well, giving away iWork now guarantees that we're not going to go buy Windows phones and put Office on them again.
I predict this begins a new era of bundling for Apple. I've been thinking that the Mac Pro will probably have all of the professional apps bundled in. And it makes perfect sense, because what is the strength of Apple right now? The ecosystem. And the more you can lock people into the ecosystem, the better. You lock them into Pages, Numbers, Keynote. It's just more lock-in. How much did they make on these apps? They were $10. Yeah. iPhoto is a great app. Everybody should have that. $5. You're going to get that for free, too. Everything but GarageBand.
If you take a look at the top selling apps, you know, on the regular App Store or the Mac App Store, it's almost always Apple's apps are almost always in the top 10.
So they may be giving up some revenue there.
Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, you know, incrementally, it's been improving year over year. You know, the part of Apple's revenue that that comprises the revenue from the stores has been growing. That's something that a lot of analysts have noted, especially over the past couple of quarters. So I'm not sure that they would want to kill the goose that laid that golden egg, even though it's just an incremental number. But I got to tell you, Leo, that would be really exciting. I mean, a new Mac Pro with like every Pro app loaded on it. I want the new Mac Pro anyway, because I'm an Apple guy, but and because I've got a 5-year-old Mac Pro that
me too
I'd like to replace.
Yes,
but
plus it's going to be the best looking home theater PC ever.
Oh, for
the garbage can.
Yeah,
garbage can. No, but gaffers take
the only one. You know, notice they didn't give away GarageBand, and that's because I'm told of the rights with the loops, and that may keep them from doing Logic, which would be a shame because Logic is an amazing app. But why not bundle, if they can, why not bundle Final Cut and Logic? Because you're going to be spending $5,000, and it's one way to kind of take some of the sting out of the expense of a new Mac Pro, is to at least give you the software.
Final Cut, I think, would be a really big deal, because the Mac Pro, obviously, very popular for digital video producers, digital video production companies that leverage those a lot. A lot of digital video people have come back to Final Cut after kind of putting the version 10 aside. You know, that was a tough transition, but a lot of people are headed back to it now. So, you know, anything Apple can do to improve the value add, the real question that I've got is what that box is going to cost.
It's going to be so expensive. And the real cost is more than just the cylinder, but the fact that now anything that you're going to expand with is all external, and it's going to be Thunderbolt 2, which is going to be very expensive. Yep. You're talking, once you add hard drives, a nice 4K monitor, it's going to be this. This is made for people who don't have to ask how much is that going to cost.
Plus, you need the Thunderbolt 2 port on the nuclear reactor in your backyard to power the thing.
You can remotely control it.
I will definitely buy one, but I guarantee you they'll start at $2,500 for the one you don't want. And that'll just 10,000. Be to say, you know, oh, yeah, you could get it for $2,500.
Once you get the monitor, once you get enough RAM.
The one you want will be at least $3,500.
Hard drive space.
And then add all that other stuff.
Or SSD space.
Yeah, it's a very expensive
thing. It's not going to go to $10,000.
And the last one was, my friend spent $12,000 on
it. It's easy to do
ones.
That with a Mac Pro.
With a Mac Pro, you can stuff
those things.
Well,
that's a scam.
That's what you do when you have a video editor.
Nicely made.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm really sad about, though, is the lack of internal expandability, because I use all four SATA bays on my Mac Pro now, and I've got a couple of cards in it and stuff like that. I can just see doing the same thing with the new Mac Pro and kind of having cables and little pods, stations all over my desk. It'll look like, you know, the egg sack scene from Alien.
Yeah, it's going to be spreading. But it will. I mean, I think it's a gorgeous thing, but I think you're going to spend a lot of money on external expansion. Yeah. Probably Thunderbolt 2 expansion. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. Why go to the post office when you can do everything? I mean everything, except for hit on the postal clerk. Can't do that at home. at your desk. See, people are leaving now because I'm...
They hate the post office,
these
people.
They hate the post office. No, they're running out to get more stamps, you know, and that's what you don't have to do with stamps.com. You can print all your postage, U.S., not Colombian, I'm sorry, but U.S. postage from your computer, your printer. You don't need special ink. You don't need a postage meter. You just need stamps.com. They'll even, I love this, they'll print right on envelopes. They'll print your logo. They do the return address. They'll take the addresses from your QuickBooks, your address book. If you sell online, your eBay or Etsy sellers, oh, man, stamps.com is a must. You'll fill in the form, automatically send an email with the tracking number to the recipient. If it's international, no problem. Stamps.com fills out the forms. We've been asking people who use stamps.com to tell us a little bit about why and how they use it. Like Christian Langley. He has a business called Easy Seals. What do you think he does?
He makes seals. Easy.
Easy. I first thought it was like a seal rental business.
And so that, that kind of seal? No.
No. He does engineering plans for building contractors to obtain permits. So he creates the plans.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
As you imagine, he's probably rolling up a lot of blueprints, stuffing them on tubes.
Yeah.
He used to actually buy, believe it or not, postage stamps from the post office in rolls of 100. Then he guesstimate the weight of the package. He, of course, always applied more postage than he needs.
Because
the
last throwing thing money
do,
away.
The last thing you want to do is send a postage due tube to somebody.
Yes.
And so he heard us talking about stamps.com and now uses it. Always has the right postage because he's got that USB scale. Plops the tube on there. It prints out the label. Couldn't be easier.
You are filled on today's shows with personal stories, bringing actual well, stories from real people
actually,
to show.
I believe that real people.
You and Reagan were the same.
It's morning in America. This special offer, I don't know where I came from.
Does anybody in the audience remember Reagan?
No.
You know where they shot the Morning in America ads? Right here in Petaluma, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to say that.
It's morning in Petaluma. Well, when did you pick up that accent?
I don't know.
I think go back to the German.
Mommy, you can get this special offer when you use our promo code TWIT. You visit the website. Don't take that $80 offer. You'll be sorry. You want to click the microphone, enter TWIT. That's that microphone in the upper right-hand corner, the cool one. Click go, and then you're going to get a, a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. I was channeling Pax Dickinson for a moment there. Hey, girl, go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TWIT. We love it. It's a pro tip for anybody who does a lot of mailing. What do you think of this Pax Dickinson story?
Oh, jeez.
CTO, Chief Technical Officer for Business Insider, right?
It seems to me that this was a publicity stunt.
Who gains from this?
Business, people know the Business Insider. I think they do.
Is that Henry Blodgett's thing?
Yes, Blodgett.
He's the kind of person that might do this, actually.
Yeah, no, he's a sharp guy.
He believes that there is no
that.
Such thing as bad press.
And this is good press.
So Pax,
and then they fired him to make it even better press, supposedly.
Pax Dickinson was the quintessential brogrammer. Popped collar, you know, sexist. And he was apparently tweeting.
Sexist.
Well, apparently was tweeting about the tech industry's woman problem.
Yeah, and some other things, too.
Yeah.
I think it's everything wrong with the tech industry.
With that guy?
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that way.
Have you ever met him?
No. Yeah.
I don't know if that
Anil
exists.
Dash.
It may
Anil Dash.
Be a created individual like a Cringely.
No. It's not created.
You've seen him.
No, but Anil Dash has.
Anil works there.
Anil works in
he
the same building.
He could be in on the game.
No, he doesn't work there, but he works in the same building. Anil is has a lot of integrity, and he was very incensed by some of the things that Dickinson said on Twitter. By the way, this is a whole Twitter thing.
Yep. More publicity for something.
Good for the IPO. Pax said, hey, we're in the same building. Say that to my face, Anil Dash. And they actually did meet.
Yep.
Anil wrote about
supposedly.
It. Found out that Pax had a wife of 15 years. And Pax said, it's just a persona I was creating online. Nevertheless, did cost him his job.
What I love is that some people have tried to frame this as the death of free speech. And it's like, wait a minute. Free speech doesn't mean that you don't have consequences when you act absolutely. Like a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, whether or not Pax Dickinson's persona online is a legitimate reflection of his personality, it was obnoxious, it was abrasive, and, you know, it reflected very poorly on Business Insider. You know,
yeah,
that's saying a lot.
He's not Andrew Dice Clay. He's not standing on a stage doing comedy. Shtick. I think he thought he was. He tweeted, among other things, "I'm not the villain America deserves, but I'm the villain it gets right now, it needs right now." Obviously feeling.
So maybe he has a future in comedy.
Well, it would be. He would if it was funny.
There was actually
a really interesting article.
Kind of the
about,
key there.
Why does the internet generate assholes? Why do
it does like generate people? Assholes?
Because
we're
hungry for likes and favorites and retweets, and you can either do that by doing good stuff
and
for the
check-ins.
World, or doing sensational stuff. And so he decided to go down the sensational route.
I also think that Penny Arcade nailed this years ago. Penny Arcade, the webcomic, you know, John Gabriel's internet F-wad theory, you know, that, you know, anonymity plus an audience equals, you know, becoming a total dickwad.
Right.
You know, I think that there's a lot of truth to that, too. You don't get the same social cues that you get from people who are in the same room with you, and that affects how you respond to people and how they respond to you.
By the way, I should point out that the guy who wrote this wrote it on Medium, the thing you hate so much, Ev Williams' site, and he was the co-founder of Hot or Not, which is probably one of the great internet asshole generators of our time. But he wrote, "Why are there so many assholes on the internet?" And I guess does he come up with an answer?
Yeah, I gave you that.
Everything we were talking about.
Everybody's hungry for favorites and likes and retweets and getting people to react to them, and because that's sort of our new social capital, right?
He says, and I like this. This is kind of, I agree with this. He says, brands, even personal brands, only have power in the long run if they're authentic. Faking it, and I'd like to know what you think about this, John. Faking it leads you to living a lie, and lies never last. If you really want a sustainable and meaningful attention, the way to go about building a personal brand is to be honest and only accentuate your actual attributes. Please stop faking it. Just be yourself.
Yeah. Oh, brother.
Well, what is it?
Own your assholeness, right?
What if you're an asshole?
Then you have a great future.
That's Bill Cosby's line about doing cocaine, right? You know, that it amplifies your personality. Well, what if you're an asshole? You know, the internet is going to magnify people who just shouldn't be socialized, well socialized. You know, 50 years ago, these people were cast out of their villages or whatever, and now, you know, they get an audience on the internet. The greatest thing about the internet is that anybody who wants to can share their opinion with the world.
Right.
Yep. The worst thing about the internet is that anybody who wants to can share their opinion about the world.
I agree 100% with you. We celebrate the democratizing effect of the internet. Well, guess what comes along with that is everybody gets a voice, and it may not be everybody you want to hear from. Nope. But that's, in a way, to me, that's also good because, you know, bad stuff needs to be under a rock, I think. The light of day is sanitizing.
Yep.
So I
he
think
doesn't work at business.
Right. In the long run, democratizing is going to be possible.
Now he might actually find a career that suits his persona better or himself better.
I think on stage,
comedian.
Andrew Dice Clay.
It's not funny.
He's in the new Woody Allen movie. Have you seen the new Woody Allen movie?
No, it's supposed to be a great movie.
Awesome.
I agree
with
you.
That's what everybody says.
Awesome. Cate Blanchett, Academy Award.
She's always a...
She is so good in this. Yeah, it's called...
Are you a Woody Allen person?
Well, yes and no. I mean, he makes some terrible movies and he makes some brilliant movies, so...
I'm a big fan of Woody
Midnight
Allen.
In Paris was amazing.
Is that...
This is every bit as good. It's Blue Jasmine. It's
the only use of the word amazing in the whole show.
The first time?
Yeah.
Do I get a dollar?
No, it's like I had the counter here. I was hoping to come up with some...
That's the first one.
Yeah, we're talking about a complete Apple? Loser.
Well, there you go. You know why? Because we didn't really have the iPhone 5S amazing? I don't think so.
Well, there's another use.
No, you can't count. That's meta amazing. Go ahead. Cheer.
Three.
I'm running it up. Darn it.
It's amazing that you have a counter in your pocket.
John will do anything for a joke.
Great use of a prop.
So
Michael Dell owns Dell.
It's about time.
Who'd have thunk it? Wow. Next thing you know, Edison Electric.
Well, does he own it? I don't know that he owns it.
No, but it looks like Michael Dell and the big bucks, the people with the deep pockets, Silver Lake Management, have secured enough votes for the approval of their leveraged buyout. He wants to take Dell private for $24.9 billion.
Yeah, pocket change for Michael.
You think it's Dell Computers is worth $24.9 billion?
You know, if I were him, I'd just, you know, shut it down and give the money back to the shareholders.
That's what he said, of course, about Apple a few years ago.
Actually, sorry, I couldn't resist.
When he said it, you know what? He wasn't far off. That was pre-Steve Jobs, right?
Right. Yeah. But, man, can Dell innovate now that they're private? You know, taking something private means you don't have to pay attention to the public market. You can make longer-term bets. You can be
That's
more
a good thing.
I think it's a good thing.
Because the truth is the PC industry is dead no matter what Michael Dell does. So he's got to find the next thing for Dell.
Yeah.
Right?
Dell wearable, Taco.
Is Dell going to do wearable computers?
I'm sorry, chat room. I just stole that
line. Is Dell going to compete with Nike and Apple on wearable computers, which is the next revolution, right?
I predict that they're going to get into backyard fission reactors.
Let's hope.
Oh, that'd be cool. Well, or self-driving cars.
Dell has tried. Remember the Dell streak? Dell has tried to do post-PC devices and failed miserably in every respect. They haven't even really done a credible tablet. They are the PC company, and we buy Dell PCs, but
they have
PCs
huge
are
market
dead.
Share in the data centers. When you walk around the data centers,
a lot of servers.
Dell.
We use Dell servers. We use Dell switches here. All the finance department, all the business people, they all have Dell computers.
So what's going to be the next data center of the future? Self-driving car? Self-driving car has a data center.
Can you? Well, this is really the big challenge.
I thought we agreed that it was going to be the iPhone 5S. I thought we agreed that the data center of the future was going to be the iPhone 5S.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? Can you reinvent a company in this day and age? I mean, I look at so many companies who have – it's very few companies have made a pivot and succeeded. Big companies, successful companies. Microsoft, I don't think they're going to pivot. They're not going to be able to pivot.
Apple,
did they pivot or did they just
– They sure pivoted, it looks like,
to
me.
They were a PC company, huh?
Yeah. And not only that, but they, you know, turned it – there was like a double turnaround. First, he got back into the business of selling PCs that people wanted to buy.
And they used that to finance their move into mobile.
Right.
Yeah, but if Dell duplicates Apple's success, if Dell follows the model, then they've got to pivot, they've got to turn around, and they've got to find a new market that they can exploit and build out and make their own. You know, Apple did it with smartphones, and then Apple reinvented the tablet market. Apple did it previous to that with the music player market. So Apple's done it a few times, and Apple's always come out on top as a result of it. Do you think Michael Dell has the imagination to make the same thing happen?
I don't think so. Everybody should watch the Larry Ellison interview Charlie Rose did. And Larry explained the differences between an enterprise company and a consumer company like Apple. And if Dell wants to be in a cool new area like wearables or self-driving cars or something like that, it needs somebody who really is a visionary and gets – something new.
It's not Michael Dell, is it?
It's not Michael Dell. He doesn't.
So maybe he could bring in the talent. Maybe he can find somebody.
I don't think so.
That's why it's so hard. It's the innovator's dilemma. It's very hard.
I don't want to underestimate Michael Dell.
Is he a nice guy?
He's a really nice guy.
I've met him too. He's a nice guy.
He's got good hair.
He doesn't come across as
Steve
Jobs.
He's got great hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I believe he bought this company because there was something they were going to do or they were planning on doing or there's something they were sitting on or. There is something. There's
magic.
No reason that he buy this company unless he knew something we don't know.
It's got his name on it.
Dell. Yeah.
That's why he bought it.
No. That's too simplistic. There's something up.
All right. He's a smart guy, and he wouldn't buy it unless there was some value.
There's something going on.
Yeah.
And he convinced thesis.
That's interesting. Yeah. Tom Merritt, I think, has a thought on this.
Here's a look at some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Tuesday, September 17th, Grand Theft Auto 5 launches. Wednesday, September 18th, it's Giga Ohm Structure Europe. And also, Oracle has their earnings report. Thursday, September 19th, Microsoft's financial analyst meeting. Often some interesting stuff comes out of that. Also, the 19th is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. And Friday, September 20th. The new iPhones will be available for purchase in the United States and
everybody
a few other countries.
Lines.
That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Mimiti. Tom Merritt, every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. for your daily dose of tech news. That's at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time, 1700 UTC.
That was Tom. Where was he? I didn't see him here.
He was in his home office.
He's down in Southern California now.
That's right.
Ah, smart man.
Really? Is that where it's all happening there?
It's all happening in L.A., yep.
Yeah. You know, this was a good week. You might say that, but there was some stuff that happened here in the Brick Twit House.
Wait a minute. Let me guess here. I believe you're going to roll out a
house.
Ad.
Ad. Ladies and gentlemen, the house ad.
This Week in Tech. Previously on Twit. All about Android.
The Chrome developers announced plans to bring Chrome apps to Android someday. That's right. Let's get incestuous here. Chrome apps on top of Android.
Mac Break Weekly.
The fingerprint sensor will allow you to approve purchases from iTunes or the App Store. And that's a big deal. They want to make this be a payments authentication system.
Before you buy.
This thing is the funnest laptop that I've had in a long time. Every single one of these is a little screen. If I click into something, it will move depending on what you have.
So it's a screen and a trackpad.
Absolutely.
NSFW.
We wanted you to tutor Ayaz here on some of the moves from your favorite song.
This is Fry, and this is Fertilize. Okay?
So now you're double flipping eggs. You've got
there we go!
Twit. Friends don't let friends miss Twit.
That and the A8, beginning of the end.
No, why?
I'm just saying.
No, it's a nice car. Come for a ride with me.
You have it?
Yeah.
Is it outside?
Yeah.
Parked outside?
Can I drive it?
Oh, you can drive it.
No.
Anyone drive it?
Only I can drive the A8. It's got some neat stuff. It's got a night vision. So I'll know when I run into somebody, I'll know
you,
it.
You know what they look like when you hit them.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's got,
you see those raccoon's eyes glowing.
You do. They glow in green, the bright green.
Then you can aim for them, right?
Yeah. Everybody thinks, and I should have bought a Tesla.
Yeah, you should.
Why?
Because.
Why?
It's a better car.
No, it isn't.
That is.
No, it isn't.
That is.
Is it a better car?
Well, it depends. I'm not saying it's a better car.
You don't
a better
go
car.
More than 300 miles.
Yeah, well, I'm going to... Okay, so I'll see you in Reno. It's a better car. You'll be sitting on the highway.
Reno, how far is that?
No, that's not far enough. I'll see you in Salt Lake City.
I think
City.
It's 120. You can get back. Salt Lake City would be,
yeah.
You'd run out of gas.
I don't need to support the technology. There's plenty of people in the industry, now billionaires thanks to Twitter's IPO, who will be buying Teslas. Yeah. So I don't need to do them.
Another good reason for a Tesla, I think they take a loss. I think they take a beating on them. I think you'd be making money.
I don't care if I'm making money.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I buy it and they lose money. That doesn't do anything for me.
Do you have a space?
Well, now you've gotten that far.
Why would I care if they lose money?
That's what I only buy stuff that's a...
Huh? Do you take it up to Sears Point?
No, I drive it like an old man, like all Audis should be driven.
I did the Audi racing course there. It's awesome. You got to take the Audi racing course and take your RE.
You need like a Ooga horn to go with that.
Okay, that's the one thing wrong with the Audi. What does a Tesla horn sound like? The Audi horn goes, it's not. I thought I was getting a nice, rich, deep, baritone German horn. Out of my way! But no, it's like, what does the Tesla sound like? Anybody know?
I've never honked
a horn.
Sounds
like an angel's choir.
I think your R8 sound is supposed to get them out of your way, right?
It's not an R8. It's an A8. I did not get an R8.
The R is what he should have. He always goes one stage.
No, I don't want a sports clothes car.
An R8.
I want a luxury vehicle.
I drove that
car practically, when you get in it, it practically says, come on inside and have a seat.
Yeah, let's take you out on the track, man. I drove the A8 on the Sears track. It's pretty nice.
Oh, no. I can step on it. Stop showing my car. I am the 1%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break to pay for my car right now. See, this is alienating.
You don't need a horn. You need those brights.
The people. The little people that I need to think that I'm one of them. It's alienating them.
What, the fact that you bought an R8?
A8.
Oh, an A8. That's right. I just keep thinking R. The A7, by the way, I agree with the
chair. I should have bought an A7.
It's a beautiful car.
I should have bought an A7, but I want a big back seat so you could sit there. Lots of
I don't have
room.
A big butt.
It's got a massager. It's got the back seat's got a footrest, a massager, a table. You're going to love it.
I like the table.
Does your car have an API?
It does have an API.
Does it have a big-ass screen in the middle?
It doesn't have a big screen. I don't like the 17-inch screen on the Tesla. I think that looks bad.
I think it's going to get you into
a
wreck.
Big. Yeah, it's too. It's distracting. I see lots of pictures with people with their web browser on their Tesla. That's not what you should be doing. You should be looking
at the road. Yes.
That baffles me. I don't get it. I do have Google Earth though on my GPS, which is nice, and Street View when you arrive. That's
wow.
Kinda cool. Yeah,
I have that on my phone.
I know. How much did your phone cost?
As a matter of fact, I got a good deal on my phone.
You can't take us for a ride.
I could take you for a ride to the TV. I also got the OLED TV.
Oh.
Yeah.
Vizio sent me a nice 70-inch TV.
Yeah. Well, the OLED's beautiful.
But it's not as nice as your OLED.
No, the OLED's
beautiful. Oh, 4K? You got a 4K set?
No, it's an HD. It's not a 4K, but it's one of the first production OLED TVs.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
A quarter inch thick?
Yeah, it's really thin.
Really thin.
Yeah, it's curved.
Can you bend it? You can bend it.
It's curved.
What happens if you fall into it?
You shouldn't bend it.
Okay.
You should leave it the way it is. It's already bent.
Yeah, I got the Samsung.
Curved Samsung.
Yeah, that Twitter stock, man. See, that's the difference. I'm so glad I was an early investor in Twitter.
You got stock?
No.
Yeah.
No. Chris Sacca. Did I mention he's going to be a billionaire?
Hey.
It's not a zero-sum game.
There's another Twitter being born tonight.
And there's
What's the next Twitter?
That's the thing he's doing with that little Pokemon thing that he's going to stick into the next Twitter.
iBeacons?
I don't know.
Is that a business for you or are you just doing it for fun?
No, I just carry it. It's some startup guy gave me
it. No, but I mean, when you put the beacons in the Ritz.
Oh, we're doing that. Just
yeah, make fun. Sure I get one of these.
Where do I get this?
We're going to put funny messages like,
can I get,
John Dvorak has been here.
Can you find your keys? Does it help? Does it beep, 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 tell you where your keys are?
Not until Friday when I get an iBeacon on my new, well, I'm not getting an iPhone.
You're not getting an iPhone?
My wife is. I am staying.
You wrote an article about why you're not, and it has to do with those stupid goggles you're wearing.
We have a zero-content show. I think this is fantastic.
You know what? All the content is in the
ads. And you sat through 2 hours of it, so who's smarter?
We're almost done.
Our show today, we're almost done. Our show today, Niners are starting in half an hour. It's show today brought to you by Audible.com. I'll tell you what, that nice B&O sound system when the tweeters come, like that audiobook just sounds so good. So good. I am living in the book. I want to.
Our book will be.
It's amazing.
Our book will be on Audible in 3 or 4 weeks.
Are you going to do Audible on your book?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Who's going to read it? You?
No.
You got a professional?
A real one.
I think you should read it.
An Audible approved expert.
Why didn't Audible ask me to read it?
I didn't realize, by the way.
Because you refuse to read books.
They have readers that they approve.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that are high quality.
I had to audition for them.
Oh, you're one of them.
No, I didn't have time. They wanted me to do one of James Watson's books. Which I would love to do, but you know, it's a lot. That's a lot of work, especially a long book. But yours is pretty short, right?
278 pages.
Yeah, it's tiny. I could have done that in a couple afternoons. Instead, mushrooms. The Mushroom Hunters on the Trail of an Underground America. This is my kind of book. A book that looks at a subculture no one knows exists. I bet you're. Do you ever go mushrooming?
I'm familiar with this subculture.
It's a great subculture. And chanterelles, they're so fabulous.
I had a
you can't buy farm-raised chanterelles. You have to go into the woods. Do you not?
I had a house in Albany that had them growing in the basement.
Damn, I hate you.
It's true.
I would have gone to the basement and picked them and put them in an omelet.
My
mouth is watering just thinking about your chanterelles.
We used to have a lot of psilocybin mushrooms up at the Washington place.
Oh. Did they grow spontaneously or somebody probably planted the spores and now they're taking over?
No, we don't have them anymore.
You got to be careful.
Your omelets that much more interesting.
Did you, you know what you do? You bring in goats.
His friends cleaned them out.
The goats eat.
His friends came over and cleaned them out. Took them all.
They're happy goats, but they're.
I bet they're happy.
The mushrooms are gone. Cat sense. People who bought the Mushroom Underground. How the new feline science can make you a better friend to your pet. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to be. A better friend to my pet.
You're the pet's guardian if you live in Berkeley.
Is that true, really?
Yes, by law.
So you don't
own the animal.
How about this? The Red Queen, Sex and the Evolution of Human Nature by Matt Ridley.
What's it got to do with red anything?
I'm sure it explains because of the Lewis Carroll Through the Looking Glass. What I love about this, 150,000 books. This is the best bookstore ever. You can browse around. You can listen to any book, play the sample, see what the reader sounds like. They've got it all. And in fact, when new books come out now, it used to be that you'd kind of either get the crappy abridged cassettes in the bookstore or you'd have to wait. Now they all come out on Audible, and I just love that. There's so much great stuff. You see, I bought my Turkish tapes on Audible.
You're learning a little Turkish?
Well, I'm going to Turkey. I thought it'd be good to know.
I've been to Turkey.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's great.
I can't wait.
But I'll tell you this.
What's that?
If you go to Istanbul, there's a mall between the airport and the city itself.
Yeah.
You go to that mall, there's a glass shop.
Ooh.
They sell glass.
Yeah.
You know, like vases and everything.
Yeah, glassware.
Yeah. The price is unbelievable. Anyway, that was that.
Fortunately, I'll know how to, if you turn up the audio here, Chad, you'll hear it. I'll know how to speak Turkish
when I get doubt that.
Sitting next to a Turkish woman. He wants to begin a conversation, so he says, "Excuse me."
Affedersiniz.
What?
The Turkish speaker is going to repeat this word part by part, starting from the end. You are to repeat each part after him.
I'm going to be listening to
trying to make
airplane.
Your pronunciation
okay,
sound like
together.
His.
Make yours
be sure you repeat aloud.
Repeat it aloud, okay.
Sinners. Edar.
Edar.
Edarsiniz.
Edarsiniz.
Edash, you sinners.
You're going to start the Fourth Crusade. You know that.
I think it already began.
All right. Anyway, Audible. Yes, they have language. They have comedy performances. They have thrillers. They have great science fiction. I just think you got to try it. Now, here's the deal. We're going to get you two books free. How about that, huh? You go to audible.com/twit and the number two, audible.com/twit2, and you'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's the two-book-a-month subscription. With that, by the way, you get the daily edition, audio edition of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, your choice. You'll get two great books. There's so many choices in here. You can cancel anytime in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. Those books are yours to keep forever, but I don't think you're going to want to cancel. That's the kind of the deal. We wouldn't do this if we didn't think. This offer is good, by the way, in the U.S. and Canada. If you're outside the U.S. or Canada, and a lot of our listeners are, that's fine. Just join Audible. You won't be able to use our deal, but join Audible. I'm telling you, you will love it. Audible.com/twit2. And I've, of course, I get a long plane flight, so that's why I have zero credits now, because I have stocked up. If you look at my library, I am ready. I got the Turkish stuff. I got books to listen to. I just listened to A History of Venice right now.
Make sure you stick your thumb in the hole of St. Sophia.
Yeah, what happens?
There's a big thing. There's a line. Yeah. There's a small line of about 10 people.
Stick your thumb in the hole there.
You stick your thumb in the hole.
Does that mean you're going to be wealthy?
No, and you twist.
Twist?
360 while making a wish. Always comes true.
It will come true?
Yeah.
But how do you do 360? Because that's all the way around.
Something like that. You just watch the experts as they go through and then just do what they do.
St. Sophia.
St. Sophia's got a little rock with a hole in it.
Mm.
You stick your thumb in the hole and
then
twist it.
When I was in Ireland as a child, I bent over backwards to kiss the Blarney Stone.
I did that
a
couple of years ago.
Yeah, but you didn't
I ended up on Twitch. Shy. I hardly ever talk.
That was your wish?
You know what's really interesting about the St. Sophia rock is that when you put your thumb in and then twist it all the way around, the NSA gets the thumbprint.
That's a possibility.
There's an iPhone in there.
I can't deny the fact that I realize that Syria is just over the border.
Yeah, why don't you go there?
I'm not sure I should be in the area, but I'm going to go anyway.
It's not even close to Istanbul.
It's not even close. It's just next door. That's not the same. Intel has announced 14 nanometer processors. Their new CEO says this means we're going to be able to get, Brian Krzanich says we're going to be able to get tablets out under $100 thanks to this 14 nanometer system. This was at the IDF, the Intel Developers Forum. A lot of announcements there, including a lot of new Windows 8.1 stuff. Nokia announced a little sub 8-inch tablet.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Okay.
Tablets under $50.
Really?
I've already seen them.
Well, there's cheap Chinese crap.
Good, high-quality tablets under $50 in the next decade.
Really? How?
I think in the next 3 years.
Well, it could be in the next few years, but I'm going
to
hedge my bet.
I saw them at there's a
because there's nothing to it. There's no moving parts. It's just a chip.
There's a teacher in Palo Alto. She's already building with her kids $50 tablets running Android.
You can print them on a 3D printer now.
They're pretty good quality. And, they won't get us excited when we have iPads.
But they get the job done.
But they get the job done for a whole lot of people.
And that's Android, right? Because Android's open source and free. If they don't care about the Google apps, they don't even have to go the Google deal. But I think even the Google deal is reasonable.
It's coming.
That's exciting. Open, that's because of open source. Free computers.
Petabyte hard disks.
How much is a petabyte? Is that 1,000 terabytes?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of storage.
I visited the Bing mapping team in Colorado, and they had 6 petabytes in a trailer out in the parking lot.
That's a lot. You'll hold it in your hand.
That's a lot of hard drives.
They announced the Quark chip, which is probably germane to your book. Yeah. Intel's tiniest chip. It is for wearable computing or the Internet of Things.
Yep.
I like it. That's exciting. The world we're living in is very exciting. And
things are getting smaller.
I'm positive about it.
And cheaper.
And McDonald's is testing a mobile order app for the U.S., so I'm really happy.
Wow. That's great. You know, Burger King now delivers.
Really?
That's how pathetic it is, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's that cheap American labor. If it weren't for that, we wouldn't be able to do it.
Maybe if they,
you know, if
the
you were paying
wage.
Those guys, you know, $10 an hour, your delivery would cost twice as much.
That's right.
No, not really.
No,
it's drones.
You have to have a $10 minimum order. Chipotle has a mobile ordering app.
What is Scoble's World Product? The chat room is funny.
Okay, let's talk about your book real quick because we're going
to
wrap this thing.
And
up.
And I need to get a copy so I can write that bad review you need.
PDF. I'll send it to you right now.
This is
all
exciting.
Right, send it to me right now.
So. You and Shell wrote a book called Naked Breakfast.
Naked Conversations.
Naked Conversations.
Naked Conversations?
It was about blogging.
It was about blogging. The new one,
I worked at Microsoft.
Same co-author.
Oh.
You were at Microsoft when you wrote Naked Conversations? All right. So the new one, I mean, this is good because you are really, what you did with Naked Conversations was look at what was about to transform media. And you were absolutely right. This is about the age of context. Mobile sensors, data, and the future of privacy. You couldn't be more. Yeah, I mean, you really, this
Don
is timely.
Thinks he has privacy.
I never said that.
How could you not love this book, John? I already love it.
No, I'm sure I'll like the book, but he wants a bad review to balance off the good reviews, and I can do that. I'm good at it.
The best in the world. If I get eviscerated by John Dvorak, my day will
I don't know if I'm eviscerating I can be, but I can definitely find some huge flaw that I can exploit.
Once again, Robert Scoble has, I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Holy crap, what is the Scoble guy thinking? That'd be a good one.
It's amazing. Not.
We did 300. Oh, geez. We did 300 interviews, went around the world.
Have you? So you're already done with the book tour. Oh, no. This
No, that's the pre-book tour.
Wow, that's awesome.
So in other words, you're going to take a beating on this book.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
You don't write for the money. You write for the joy.
The love of it.
The love of putting pen to paper.
I was
going to
do the work anyways for Rackspace. So I figured.
Oh, I got a line. I already got a line.
That's why I got. I got
300 interviews. Should have stayed home. That would be like the line.
Should have stayed home.
Should have stayed home.
I'm loving this review already. When will it be available?
September 25th.
Oh, just 10 days.
Just 10 days.
On Amazon.com. Can you pre-order now?
Yes, you can. Well,
no,
you
can
put it on your wish list.
You can put it on your wish list.
I wish
Robert would finish this book. But it's done, right?
And
you finished it probably
spammy
months
ago. Email when
is there really, is does is this book going to be like paper you can put it on a bookshelf?
You can get it on Dead Trees or Kindle.
Is there a market for this stuff? I mean, I think e-books are really... I mean, there's no cost, right? It's just bits.
It's better for
everything
us
to you is free if it's a bit.
It is. Bits are free.
Bits are free.
Tell that to your provider.
Jeff Bezos is not.
Out of print. It says out of print,
yes,
Robert.
Because it's not in print yet.
Oh.
So
it's not in print means it's out of print.
I don't know. I got my cycle book coming out.
A book about bicycling?
Yeah, that's it.
What is your cycle?
The depression cycles that we're having to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
We got an October situation coming up, so we have to be careful.
Oh, are you doing this with Andrew Horowitz or just on your own?
No, I've been doing this book for like the last decade.
Last I remember, you were writing a book on the Civil War. You still working on that?
No.
It's over? The war's over?
The war has been.
You've been writing that book longer than the war went.
The Civil War book, yeah.
Well, I don't mean to make you feel bad. I mean,
I feel bad. I promise all these books I never delivered.
No,
once in a while.
It's hard to do a book. It's very hard.
It's also tedious.
Take it from me. I never wrote any, but
it's tedious.
So, the vinegar book. So tell me about the vinegar book.
That's the right
The vinegar book is coming. I'm going to get that vinegar book because otherwise I'm going to get hounded by the family. And I believe I'm saving lives. Vinegar.
Because people could eat the mold, the musk?
Oh, that crappy...
The rubber thing?
Xylenium stuff. That stuff is used to make cellulose, that crap they call vinegar. You know, you've seen these mothers. They're like a floppy disc.
Floppy mother. You don't want a floppy mother.
No, you don't want to see a mother in your vinegar. You want to just see the goo. Yeah,
How many different kinds of vinegar have you tasted?
I've tasted most of them.
He makes it.
I've been making it for
30
years.
You don't buy vinegar anymore. No. You make it.
You can make it.
It takes
about 2 or 3 years to make it right.
How much? 3 years
couple
for one
years.
Bottle?
Yeah.
What do you do in the meantime for your salad?
You just dump. Well, actually, if you don't, I buy some vinegar too, but if you want to, don't want to use vinegar in your salad and you're drinking a lot of wine with the meal, you don't want to get it screwed up by the vinegar, use lemon juice or lime juice.
For crying out loud.
I mean, please.
And what? Lemon juice makes a lovely salad dressing.
Actually, lemon juice and you'd say marjoram, by the way, is the base for most of these salads. Mm,
that's not good.
Marjoram's great.
Bad for you. Oh, marjoram.
Marjoram, the herb.
As opposed to margarine, the faux butter.
Yeah, use some.
Margarine.
I'll write it up. I can't talk to these
people.
You're
getting boring because the chat room's wondering what I have in my left zip pocket. Nothing.
Yeah,
he's wearing a Scotty vest.
I'm not going to say anything else.
Let me just feel
I'm done.
What's in. Oh, my God.
He's got a big breast.
Oh, my
Don't
God.
Don't do that again. That's disgusting.
Isn't this a family show?
I'm a little turned
All right, onward. By the way, rice vinegar uses a specific vinegar culture. It's weird. Anyway,
I love rice vinegar.
Do you now?
Is there rice in it?
It's made with rice wine.
Rice wine, okay.
Yeah.
Peter Cohen, what would you like to plug? iMore.com, of course.
You didn't ask me what I wanted to plug.
I talked about this stupid vinegar book for half an hour. What do you want?
I Dvorak.org/blog, channeldvorak.com.
Okay.
No Agenda Show, and a newdomain.net.
Right.
How,
where you're writing about Chicago hot dogs.
Well, this last time. But the next thing is going to be about, I think, the color profiles of fall fashion colors relating to the phones. Because this is a fall fashion color.
You see, okay, so the Moto Maker, you unfortunately, because you had to get it from Verizon, had black or white, but I was able to go to the Moto Maker site and choose crimson with a
you're stuck on AT&T.
Black trim.
Is AT&T a sponsor? I better not say anything.
No, I don't like AT&T. One cotton picking bit.
Oh, good.
So you can say anything you want. I don't like Verizon much either. They're all sucky.
Yeah, at least I can make phone calls.
And we go off the track.
What were you plugging again, Peter?
And the look. When did you start?
You can't even get a good plug
this
in.
This is why you have to come here, Peter. When did you start writing for The Loop, Peter?
Sorry?
When did you start working for The Loop?
Let's see. Back in 2009, right after I parted company with Macworld.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Absolutely. Jim and I have been doing it for, 4 years now.
Loopinsight.com. It is really the Apple blog. And, of course, Jim's famous for his terse one-word answers when people, you know, is there going to be an Apple event? Nope. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. You know, his yups are famous.
Yeah.
So I do write for stuff on the Loop at loopinsight.com. iMore.com.
Love iMore.
And, you can find me on Twitter at Flarg, FLARGH.
I asked you this last time. Why?
Why Flarg?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Okay.
Sounds check like Urban a, Dictionary.
Like a Tina Fey thing.
Check Urban Dictionary is always the last thing I want anybody to say to me when I said, what does that mean? Check Urban Dictionary is not the answer you want. Thank you, Peter Cohen. Thank you, John C. Huh?
It's the answer that you're stuck with, Laporte.
It's the right answer.
Yeah.
Live with it.
Well, because he couldn't register Peter Cohen. That's the obvious answer.
It's not the answer you want, but it's the answer you need, Laporte. Mr. Robert Scoble is the Scobalizer. Scobalizer.com. And, of course, his videos at Building 43.
Yep.
I got it right.
YouTube.com/Scobalizer. Twitter.com/Scobalizer.
Nice to see you again.
I'm not Scobalizer on Facebook, though. I'm Robert Scoble.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Google Plus, you're Robert Scoble as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's they forced a real name.
Forced a real name. Thank you all for being here. We do this show 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time on twit.tv, 2200 UTC. If you'd like to tune in live, we'd love it if you do. As you can see, the chat room is a good part of what we do, at least when they're saying good things.
Exactly.
Yep. We also love having you in the studio, and quite a few of you, as always, have showed up for the show. And are now regretting it bitterly, but it's okay.
Well, most of them stuck around.
Though. We had one real walkout.
Great audience.
Very nice audience. You can email tickets at twit.tv if you'd like to be here.
Tickets?
Eat tickets at twit.tv.
You got to get tickets.
What?
Now?
When did this happen?
No, we don't have tickets. It's like Flarg. Look it up in the Urban Dictionary.
Flarg.
It's I didn't choose the email. We just thought it'd be easy for people to remember because, you know, you go to Oprah, tickets at Oprah.com. You go to the Tonight Show, you know, Tonight Show. So we just thought tickets at Twitter. But there's no tickets.
They do have security here now.
And there's a 4-page disclaimer you have to sign.
What's this? It said this could be a dangerous act or something on this
what?
Form.
Yeah. What is this?
About?
You got what is this? Government requirement?
Did someone get killed on the show?
Lawyers. Yeah, we lost. We lost a visitor once. It wasn't a big deal. And ever since, they've made us sign. You know, get these people to sign.
Four pages, man. Wow.
Four double-sided.
That was
pages.
A lawsuit. I gotta hear. I gotta get you drunk one night and hear about this lawsuit or something.
It must have been a gem.
What else do I have to say? Oh yeah, you can get the show. If you don't get it live, you can always get it on demand at twit.tv. Or wherever you subscribe. Please do subscribe, in fact, because we'd love to have you listen every single week. I am not going to be here for a few weeks. This is my last official duty on the Twit Network. I'm taking a vacation. But we've got some good people. Sarah Lane's going to do a show.
Next week.
Who else? Tom?
And then Tom's after
Tom
her.
Merritt?
Yeah.
And IS?
No, Father Robert Palliser.
Father Robert Palliser. So we will have great shows. In fact, we aren't going to do any reruns. It's all new program all through the... Even the Tech Guy show will be all new content. So I'll just be having fun while you guys are slaving away watching podcasts.
Hopefully your head won't end up on a stick.
What country would that be?
Turkey.
Really?
Could happen.
Would it be bad if I wore the fez or good if I wore the fez?
No fezes in Turkey.
Out of Turk banned them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, John. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Doing the twit.